All right, we're live because I don't have
Is
time
that
to wait
me?
for you. Is what
Oh,
you?
I hope we're live.
We are live. We're live on the rant, rantdmradio.com,
Oh man, you hear
facebook.com
me.
slash wizards podcast. If you're watching and listening live, thanks for joining us tonight. Episode 528 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Tony unfortunately survived vacation, so he's back with us.
Yay!
It's me and Kevin again. We will not have as amazing as a show as last week because Tony's back, but it'll still be good.
See, this is why Tony leaves.
I know. Well, you know what, Kevin? We talked about it. He was fucking texting us throughout the whole start of the show. Just
the
fucking call in.
Start of the
Just
show.
Call in. Just call
the
in.
The whole start of the show.
That's yeah, right. The whole show. Did you ask him about this? Did you ask him about this? Did you do this? Did you do that? You should
After
talk about this.
You fucking broke my horns on vacation. Hey, guess what? I need picks for four fucking pay-per-views today. Pronto, get on that shit.
There were a lot of picks.
And I'm at the zoo. He puts take it to the zoo, Rock.
Well, yeah, I figured you would get the reference.
I did, and I was like, you asshole, you're making me feel like a dick, and I'm laughing at the same time.
How was the zoo?
Yeah, tell us about the zoo.
The zoo was awesome. It took 45 minutes to park, a half an hour to walk through it, and another 10 minutes to fucking leave. It was great.
What zoo did you go to?
Cape May.
Okay. Any time I go on vacation, I always go to a zoo.
Mm.
I love the zoo. I love zoos. I'm really like a zoo nerd.
Zoo.
So what's your – all right. So I feel like this is really good opening stuff for the show. So I feel like we should do it and then come back and talk about what Matt's favorite zoo exhibits are.
Oh,
not cats, though, obviously.
I do enjoy the cats at the zoo.
The big cats.
Oh, yeah, the big cats.
The Ernie Lads, if you will.
No, I don't want an Ernie Lad in my house.
Oh, the big cats.
You know how much an Ernie Lad eats? He's worse than a child.
Oh, you're depends. Stealing money from him, Bundy.
He's a
so
big...
You're saying that so you're saying that he's worse than a lad?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
All right, episode 528 of The Shining Wizard starts right now.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show. As if you didn't know, you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
You are listening to episode 528 of the Shining Wizards podcast. The one and only Busted Opens, Dave LaGreca, joins us tonight. We're talking all things Mania. We're talking all things NXT Stand and Deliver. We're talking all kinds of shit, including the Hall of Fame and all those other stuff that happened in the world of wrestling this week. We are talking to you live on the rant, rantdmradio.com. We're talking to you on the Shining Wizards Network. Don't forget about our boys. And joining you on the face space live and in color. You can see us. We look good. And if you're joining us in podcast form, we love you just as much. Hit them downloads, hit the likes, hit the subscribes, 5-star reviews, all that happy horse shit. But before we move on, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Boys, what's going on? How you been? I missed you guys last week.
I am large and in charge.
No, large is true.
Kevin's got to turn your mic on.
Turn my mic on.
Sure, got to turn my mic on. We didn't do the name game.
Oh, Matt.
Tony.
Fuck. LaGreca.
Tony, how was your vacation, buddy?
My vacation was awesome, dude. had some good times.
What's we so missed fun? You.
Laughing?
No, we didn't.
Well, who didn't miss me? You didn't miss me for real?
Who, me?
Yeah. No. Yeah, you.
What are we doing, a cookie jar game?
Nah, me and Kevin had a great time last week. We had Michael Bennett. We had a great show.
Great interview, by the way. Oh. Unbelievable interview. Mike Bennett's a great guest. Kev, would you say top five?
Easily top five. Might be top three. How do I, why can I not share this video?
I don't
know. Here we go.
So vacation was good, Tony. You are fully vaccinated, Tony. I am fully vaccinated. Kevin, fully vaccinated.
I'm the OG.
And it knocked the fuck out of me, dude.
Yeah.
That second shot we ain't nothing to fuck with.
You and me. Ooh, both. Lord. My wife got it worse than me. She had a fucking fever yesterday. It was a rough.
Yeah, but you guys are okay now. You all pulled the nose up. Everything's good.
Everyone's good today. She woke up. She was like a completely different person. I had a little headache, but that's because I lost my appetite all day yesterday. So I needed to get some food in me. And I did that. And now we're rocking and rolling. Oh.
Awesome.
All right. So if you listen to the cold open, the pre-show, if you will.
Well.
We were talking about the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm very curious to find out what Matt go-to exhibits are at the zoo. Like when you go to the zoo, Tony, you actually went to the zoo recently, so we'll circle back to you, but I feel like this is a really hot open. Matt, what's your favorite thing to look at the zoo?
I like the gorillas and the monkeys.
All right.
And I like the big cats. I'm a big cat guy.
Big cat guy. Now we're talking Ernest Miller, we're talking Ernie Ladd. Did you notice that all the wrestlers named cats were Ernests or Ernies? That's weird.
I like the Bengals. I like the Tigers. I like the leopards. I like the panthers.
Lots of them there. Lots of tigers. Lots of they had bears too, dude. Like these brown bears. They were awesome.
So, Tony, did you see any T-donks in the wild? Donkeys?
No donkeys, but they allow the peacocks to run around, which is apropos because of the the peacock network, I guess.
Oh God, don't you freaking dare!
The most beautiful peacock of them all, with all the feathers and everything. Yeah, that son of a bitch was jumping on rooftops of the buildings. That shit was like 12 feet in the air. How did they do it? I don't know.
Well, they got wings.
They're all over the place, man. The monkeys were awesome. Dude, anything that acts like us, that can swing from the trees, has got fucking hands for feet, I'm down, bro. That's some good shit.
Well, welcome back, Tony.
Thanks, dude. Happy to be here.
I like the tunage over there, T-Donk. I like it. It's a good call.
On top of that shit, bro.
I'm a big seal guy. Like, I like to see the thing swimming in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, I believe I could fly.
That's R. Kelly, dude. Seal is Kiss from a Rose.
Right, or Crazy.
Get your shit right.
Oh, like,
No. That's a WWE Hall of Famer right there, Ozzy Osbourne.
Roll forever!
Seals in the Hall of Fame?
No, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, it's from the Batman soundtrack, I think.
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, great tune.
Yeah, so's Bat Dance.
No, the Watusi, right?
Batusi.
The Batusi.
Oh, boy.
The Batusi? That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
From the original, from like the Adam West vehicle.
Of course.
That's right. Great start, boys.
Yeah, hot start. Well, Dave LaGreca is joining us from Busted Open Radio. We're going to talk about NXT Stand and Deliver. WrestleMania, easily the greatest week in professional wrestling. WrestleMania, how did you guys feel about WrestleMania week?
It's a lot to digest, my friend. It's a whole lot. And then you include the other shows that are still going on, even though, you know, WWE literally took up, if you include the Hall of Fame, literally took up what, on every single night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
Saturday Sunday,
Sunday
and Monday.
And Monday off, and of course Raw. So it's literally so much to digest. There's not enough time to watch it all unless you're a psychopath.
If you had to, from Friday to Sunday, how many hours of wrestling you think you watched?
Well, I watched all of NXT. I watched all of Mania. I watched both Hall of Fames. I wanted to get in Hardcore Justice yesterday. I didn't get a chance to watch it all. I watched the first couple matches. That's pretty much. I think I watched some of AEW, actually, now that I think about it. But I don't even, dude, I don't even know if I watched the entire AEW show. So, dude, a lot. Overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a lot. T-Donk, how many hours of wrestling you think you got in this weekend?
35 minutes.
I did quite well. I watched all of Mania Saturday and Sunday. I watched the Walter and Ciampa match and the Raquel and Io Shirai matches from Stand and Deliver. I watched NWA Power because that's my jam.
That's
no
right.
MLW this week, so I lucked out on that. Well, I think it was a best of week this week. Oh, Matt's making faces.
Yeah, it was. No, you weren't here last week talking about Jacob Fatu and Calvin Tankman.
Hell of a show.
Yes, it was a good showing. I thought it was a good showing.
Injustice went up twice. So it was like, oh, is Tankman going to win? And it's kind of like, nah, unfortunately, he didn't.
And I'm okay with no MLW this week because it was a loaded week. Did you guys watch Broken Skull Sessions with the Jericho?
Yes.
No, I did not.
Did you catch it?
I did. I watched it this afternoon. I watched Broken Skull today. I watched NWA Power, and I watched Ring of Honor TV today.
So what did you take away from the Jericho interview?
I thought it was great. You know, it was nothing groundbreaking, really.
No, and I mean, going into it, it was over 2 hours, and most of the 2 hours was talking about his career pre-AEW, but they got into a bit going to New Japan, having the match with Okada, having a match with Omega and Okada, and then they were trying to build for Naito, and then the whole thing with AEW, like even with the starting pay-per-view with All In, you know, so they kind of went into all that. I mean, it wasn't like 45 minutes on that stuff, but they talked about it and they went into it a little bit. So, you know,
yeah. And they showed that picture of Jericho with the AEW World Championship. And they talked about how the show came to be, the Broken Skull Session. So it was cool.
And it was also neat hearing like Jericho actually get the passion back, you know, for wrestling. Cause he said for a while, like he wasn't into it. He felt burnt out and he managed to get back in. And then of course they talked about like the freedom that he had in New Japan, where he asked Kenny Omega, like, who do I need to run this idea by? He's like, what are you talking about, dude? He's like, just go do it. So he found great freedom in that. And the way he came up with, like, you know, having the six stars to get AEW started. And like, he talked about how he was the name and he was the person that they were banking on to bring people in. But then everything branched out from there and you had more and more people building up. So it was interesting getting his perspective of it, being in there from, you know, from the ground. So good stuff.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. But there wasn't anything where like they divulged like these super secret, you know, there's nothing there that Jericho's never not talked about.
Yeah. Ooh, look at this handsome fella.
What's up, boys?
Mr. LaGreca, how are you?
What's going on, Dave?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Are you
How exhausted are you from Mania Week, buddy?
I'm hungover.
Attaboy.
You didn't sound hungover today on the air.
I was hungover today on the air.
No shit.
God bless you, you beautiful bastard.
I got to tell you, Dave, I finally I got something like in January. I used to have a Sirius XM, and then January they're like, oh, sign up for like 3 years for like $100. I was all in. I don't get to listen to Busted Open every day, but it's usually on my way to work. I'll listen to like half an hour, 45 minutes. You guys are awesome. I feel like you guys have taken the reins. There's a lot more cursing on Busted Open than there ever was. Which is, I mean, but it's wrestling. Like that's the lingo that is used in the wrestling business. And you guys are awesome. But you and Bully Ray today were awesome. Mark Henry's awesome. Tommy's great. You guys are just killing it over there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. And then, you know, if you're too cheap for SiriusXM, you always have the podcast. You can subscribe to, and you know, it's free. So.
Yeah, and you guys have the brand new Masterclass podcast that's dropping every Sunday. There was a great clip you guys played today of Mark Henry talking about how he wanted to retire after he had shoulder surgery. And Chris Benoit called him up and said, what the fuck are you doing? We got to have this fucking match. Let's go. It's awesome. And that's free too, the Masterclass podcast. So you can check that out, a little behind the scenes look from Dave and Mark and Tommy and Bully Ray. So
yeah, appreciate that, man. Yeah, I'm excited about that. So technically 7 days of Busted Open now because of the podcast that drops on Sunday. So we have the daily podcast, and we're going to be doing 2 exclusive shows a week that you can only get on the Busted Open podcast. So that's available on Apple and Spotify, Stitcher and Pandora.
And not to mention, you know, the YouTube channel that you and your brother have now forged, and it's going great. The shows are fantastic, even though Don's been kind of absent for a little while, but he's been back for a little bit. It's a LaGreca show.
We kind of put that on hiatus for a couple weeks, but we're going to go back doing it in a few more weeks. And that's, you know, it's outside of our kind of like what we normally do, like my, right. Don with sports and me with wrestling. So we talk music and we talk movies and stuff like that. So it's something that's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's absolutely great. And it's if you haven't checked it out, please check it out. Subscribe to the YouTube page because it's absolutely amazing. Didn't you guys just do something with Don Jameson?
Oh yeah, my brother did with Jameson, which was I thought was really, really cool. Yeah, he was on his show, so that was awesome.
Yeah, he's a heck of a guy.
Yeah,
Dave, what was your poison yesterday? A lot of daddy sodas.
Yeah, I was doing this. My wife went back to like Wellington, and bought like a whole bunch of Polish beer. So it was like all these different Polish beers. So I started drinking them at the party. So like 1 o'clock, and then, you know, just between that and like, you know, the wings and all that shit, like just all day long into Mania and stuff like that. I was all gacked up this morning. So it was all good.
Did I saw the green cup, is hair of the dog, or we're just doing water now?
No, this is just water, man. It's just trying to cleanse the system, you know?
I hear you. I got my, we were talking before, I got my second COVID shot the other day. So I'm just doing water because I just stopped feeling like shit about 3 hours ago. So I'm not pushing the envelope here.
When did you get your second shot?
Saturday.
That shit. So Saturday, man. So was it what Pfizer?
No, Moderna. Yeah,
funky cold Moderna.
So I was good. Saturday I was good. Sunday when I woke up, I felt like I got hit by a fucking truck. But I wasn't as bad. My wife had like a fever. She had the chills. Like she was a wreck. I just had like a headache and I was tired. But I lost my appetite too. So when I woke up today, I had a little bit of a headache, but that's because I'm a fat guy and I didn't eat, so I had to get some food. Don't laugh. You know what? I lost out on the Dave LaGreca shirts. You gave Tony one that fit him. You gave Kevin one that fit him. You gave me a 3XL, bro.
Didn't you ask for a 3XL?
Do what? Come on. I'm not that fucking big. God damn it.
No, you know what, dude? I was all set to give you another. I got him right here, dude. I got him right here in this box back here. So I was hoping like I got my Shining Wizards.
Oh, looking good.
I was hoping that, you know, the next time you did like your anniversary show, but like I guess you stopped doing your anniversary shows, or either that, or you just didn't invite me.
There was a pandemic last year, Dave. We didn't do an anniversary show.
So like you guys do it all separate now. You don't get together to do the show. You still do the whole Zoom thing.
Yep.
Yeah, probably not too much longer. We have to see what's going to happen.
We're all vaccinated now, all three of us. So I think we're going to try in the near future. We're going to try and get together and start doing them again.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that my family got the shots too before I decided to go back out in the world. But I've been fully vaccinated since February, so I've been going out, been doing my thing a little bit. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm getting my second shot the 26th, and then I'm doing it because I gotta fly out for that Thunder Rosa stuff at the end of that week.
Oh yeah,
Dave, what are you?
Oh, we're gonna dive into that. Trust me.
Yeah, what are you thinking there, Dave? Why? I mean, she's gonna beat the shit out of you, dude.
Hey, Dave, well, this
open. But now maybe, you know, like I won't feel good, you know, because you're saying to me now like you're feeling the effects like a couple days after shot. I'm getting it to 26th, and I'm flying out the 30th. I'm flying out, so maybe I won't. You know, who knows?
No, you'll be good by the 30th, bud. I hate to break it to you.
This isn't on me though. This is all like on her, to be honest. Like, wow. I don't want to like cause any more drama between her and I, but like, this is all like on her end.
Uh-oh.
Not on mine at all. Because if you listen to the show, which I know you guys do, like, I've been a big supporter of Thunder Rosa for a long time, like, right, long before, like, all the AEW stuff, before, mm-hmm, like, it became cool to be a Thunder Rosa fan. I was all over that. So, like, I got, like, a couple of Thunder Rosa shirts to support, you know? So, like, I sent her a Dave LaGreca girl shirt, you know? And then she was like, she sent me a message, and she was all about it, and she's like, I'm going to wear this on Dynamite or the NWA pay-per-view. And then that was, she sent that in a text message. I think I got it somewhere. And then she came on the air and said it again. She's like, I'm going to either wear it on AEW Dynamite or on the NWA pay-per-view. She said that on the air.
Uh oh.
And then I watched AEW Dynamite. She was on, no LaGreca shirt. And then the NWA pay-per-view, she was on, and no LaGreca shirt. So, like, that couple Fridays ago, it was only like a couple Fridays. This hasn't been going on for a long time. A couple of Fridays ago, like, I kind of, you know, aired my grievances about it. And then she got on, she called in, made a big stink. And next thing I know, before the show's even over, there's, like, this whole big to-do. And then, like, I was like, I can't do it. My wife's not going to let me leave the house like without getting back, because I didn't even have an appointment to get vaccinated. All of a sudden, all these people reach out to me. I got it in. So here we are. Like, here we are, you know? So.
You seem to be airing quite a lot of grievances lately. And it seems like you're making, people are putting you on a list that they just want to check you off of. Like, you know, what was that? Billy Madison style. Billy Madison style.
And I don't get it, because, like, I've been like, nice to everybody. Bully always accused me of chasing a hug. And then, like, all right, I'm going to ease back. I'm not going to chase the hug as much. And then all of a sudden, people just, like, are calling me out left and right. Cody, Thunder Rosa, and now Sammy Callahan's all jumping on the bandwagon, trying to make a name for themselves off my hard work.
I mean, I don't really – no, Cody. He got all butthurt over the Star Wars nonsense, though.
Ridiculous.
Right? That's silly.
Ridiculous.
Silly. Silliness. I don't know what Sammy Callahan's problem is with you. I guess I missed that this morning.
Yeah, at the party, he, like, sent the video in that he wants to kick my ass.
Well, I don't understand. That's it. Like, maybe a jock. No, like, I don't understand. What did you do to Sammy Callahan? You've been nothing but supportive of Impact and Sammy Callahan. You know what? I got your back, Dave. If you need a tag, I mean, I know you have a bunch of Hall of Famers around you, but if you need a tag partner, you know, I can do the JOB for you on the PPV.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it stems from him and I had it out like a few years ago. This is going back like almost 4 years ago. Because he came on the show and he wasn't aware that we were actually like a show, like on Sirius XM. He thought it was like just a podcast. And I like was like, dude, what, like we're on Sirius XM. It's not like nothing against podcasts. I love podcasts, obviously. And so now that we're on a podcast, like now he's like, well, you went off on me about not being a podcast and now you're a podcast. So I think that's where it comes from. But you're right. I've been a big supporter of him, Impact. Him and I did a show together on the Jericho Cruise, so now, like, all the hate is coming out for whatever reason.
Didn't he steal your shoes?
Yeah, he took my shoes, like it was Scared Straight, you know? Like, I was like a freshman in high school, Scared Straight or something.
What kind of person steals another man's shoes?
A rotten person.
Clearly, what the fuck?
That happened to me scared when I went to school, high school in Paterson, New Jersey, and like Scared Straight came to my school and like the guy took my shoes then too. So it was kind of like flashbacks of like 1989 all over again of some convict taking my shoes.
Wait. You weren't at Free Mr. Clark East Side in Paterson, were you?
No. I went to Don Bosco Tech.
Okay. All right.
But not far from East Side. But Joe Clark was like at the same time as when I was in high school. It was the whole Joe Clark stuff.
Fun fact, Joe Clark lived in the street directly across from me.
Oh, get out of here, really?
In West Orange, New Jersey. Joe Clark lived on a private road in West Orange. So that's where, that's a little fun little facts you there. But I feel like, do you ever see like the shoes that get like strung on the telephone pole? I feel like those are all your shoes.
Well, I mean, I've only had two pairs taken from me, but it's possible.
But the story's got to be similar. Like, who takes another man's shoes? I'll tell you who. The guy who throws them up on the power lines. That's who takes them.
Or just a guy who needs a pair of shoes.
Oh, God damn it, Dave. That's a great point.
Look, he's Sammy Callahan's a dirtbag. He spits all over himself. Well, you've seen him. He takes shoes. I don't like it. Dave, I'm on Team Dave. I don't care.
Of course, we're all on Team Dave.
I'm actually a really big Sammy Callahan fan. Sammy Callahan fan.
And he always seems to be doing something important. Like right now, like it's stuff with Trey Miguel right now is just so unique and so cool to see them kind of working together. Are they together? Does Trey Miguel hate Sammy Callahan? Is Sammy Callahan just trying to teach Trey Miguel? It's definitely something cool. And the fact that Sammy Callahan continues to keep himself relevant is just, to me, it's just incredible.
No, he's underrated. So yeah. How you guys doing with doing the Zoom thing and not like being in the same, any drop-offs? Is it better, easier, what?
It took a little while for us to get our bearings in terms of there being like a delay and us not talking over each other. But it is fun with the Zoom because now we get to see our guest. The guest gets to see us. For what's going on, it is helping us. It helps, you know, we're live on Facebook right now, so people can watch and see what we're doing. So it took us a little time to get our feet under us, but I think it's going well.
Yeah, and I think Tony would agree. That the interaction, the live interaction that we could have with people is better. The interaction with the guests live is better. However, you know, the talking over each other, the delay that might be there still is truly get over, and Tony could probably speak a little bit more to that and his own opinions as well.
Yeah, it all depends on the guest too. Like we had Peanut Head. What the hell's his name?
Tombstone Teddy Jesus.
Long.
Who?
No, Teddy Long.
Oh,
when Teddy Long first started with us, we couldn't hear him for like 15 minutes, but then he moved to a different room and everything was cool. So it's kind of like depends on the guest, depends on where they are. Like we've talked to people in hotel rooms, and sometimes the hotel has great Wi-Fi, and sometimes not so much. So.
Yeah.
You kind of have to work with it. The only thing that we were talking about is once we start getting back together, we want to incorporate more video in the show. So then it's going to become a thing like, well, if we have a guest, can we feed something from, you know, the three of us being together as well as the guest on Zoom? So there's going to be other little things when we start getting back to what we used to do. But I think do like this whole thing out of everything, the video part of it has just become a godsend because now we've gotten better at it. We know how to work around it. We just to incorporate it once we're back together is the next step. So,
yeah, it's going to change a lot of things. But I think, too, for the positive, like you said, not doing stuff on the phone, being able to see the guests, it's cool.
Yeah.
Still doing things over like the video, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do the video. I know for us, it's easier, actually, right, than being in the studio and stuff like that. So. And I moved during the pandemic, so like I'm pretty far from the city now, so I'm probably going to do it this way, you know, moving forward. Like maybe I'll just go into the city like once in a blue moon if there's like a big name guest, but I don't even know if that's going to happen. Like I think like guests, like I think there's not going to be those big media tours anymore. They're going to do it from home like we're doing right now. I think it's going to be a completely different world on the other side.
See, you bring up a great point with that, and this is kind of like is a question that I've always kind of asked, even with sports and stuff like that. Like, but to me, like I know that the announcers might not or the commentators might not be going to, you know, away games or this and that. But to me, there's something that you're gonna miss with that because the presentation of like a sporting event or like a baseball game, like I want to see the commentators there, like in front of the field. Like I want to see that, and I think that contributes to viewership. I could be crazy with that, but I feel like that is very, very important to why people watch games.
Yeah, there's a certain element that I think because now that the, like a lot of companies know that they could save money right. by doing it this way, like why are we going to like fly all these people out to cover an away game when we could just have them here and just do it via, you know, like what we've been doing during the pandemic? I could see that. I could see that happen. I hope it doesn't, but I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, I would just hate that so much just because, like I said, like the presentation, like I don't want to see, like, with all due respect to, like, I'm a Yankees fan, so okay, right? I don't, like, with all due respect, I don't want to see him sitting in his basement calling a baseball game. Like, I'd rather see him, or actually, I think that was Paul O'Neill that was doing that for a while. I want to see him at the stadium. I want to see, you know, Mark Jackson. I want to see Hubie Brown. Like, I want to see these guys at the games. And it's just, to me, that contributes to the presentation and contributes to possibly, you know, more viewership. I don't know. That's just me.
I don't know. Well, I think that might be a way to help the economy too when we get back, is a lot of these companies saving money yeah. that way. And then maybe a couple of years or a few years down the road, it could get back to normal again.
True.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack the conversation.
Not at all, Dave. Please, Jesus. You're like the unofficial wizard.
So much, in fact, that I did a list of top five non-wrestling guests or celebrity guests that we've had on the show, and I couldn't even include you because of your family. It was like,
oh,
you,
wow. That's nice.
It was like you and Kevin Gill. I couldn't even include because obviously you'd be number one. So like, I couldn't include you.
Good dude. No, thanks, man. I appreciate that, dude. I miss being in there with you drinking.
Oh well,
don't worry. No, it's gonna. It'll happen once the world opens up. It's going down.
Yeah, it's going down. I'm wondering when the world opens up. Is it gonna be like where people are like, I can't wait to go do shit again? Or are people going to be like, you know, I'm kind of used to being home. Like, I don't feel like leaving my house.
I think you're going to get half and half. I mean, take a look at WrestleMania over the weekend. They sold out both shows at 25,000 on like very short notice. So this
yeah, and bad weather too.
Yeah. And they sat through a 45-minute rain delay anyway. They didn't care. Like, you're just going to have that group that can't wait to get back out there. So life goes on.
And the fans still tried to hijack the show. Like, oh, all God. This shit about our baby fans will be down, man. We're going to do our thing.
No, they were super jacked up to be there. How did you like yeah. WrestleMania, Dave?
I really liked night number one. Night number two was a little bit weak, but the main event was fantastic.
Yep.
So all around, like, it's hard to complain. I think the lack of storytelling on Raw really hurt some of the matches on night number two, especially Asuka and Rhea Ripley. Like, the fans really weren't emotionally invested in that match because they never built Rhea's personality on Raw, and there was no story.
And on top of that, they haven't done shit with Asuka for what?
Forever.
5 months?
Yeah.
She just got a belt, and that was it. It was really strange booking on that end.
Yeah, but the main event last night was off the chain. I thought that was great. And then Bianca and Sasha was fantastic as well. So there were some really, really good matches. I like the two-night format. I love it. I hope they don't – it seems like they are going to go back to the one-night start next year.
Yeah.
But, man, I dig, like, splitting it up, like, three and a half hours, instead of having this, like, seven and a half hour marathon. I like the two-night split.
Were you taken aback that they despite the fact that they have two nights, that they still had to include matches on SmackDown that normally would have been on WrestleMania, like the Andre the Giant battle royal? Like, couldn't they put that on one of the nights?
I mean, I guess they could have. I mean, there's probably a match or two that you could probably take it off, right? I felt bad for like Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, man. Yeah. Those guys bust their ass and then they become champions and they don't even have a match at WrestleMania, you know. But, you know, Nia and Shayna find a way to be on every single show.
Fucking the women's tag teams were all over the two nights. You couldn't find a spot for Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. I know Bully Ray was super hot about that this morning on Busted Open, and he's right. I mean, fucking Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, you can't find a spot for them on WrestleMania. Come on.
he probably could have cut down one of the matches, you know, like the tag match last night was, you know, over 15 minutes long. He probably could have cut back a little bit on that, would have been fine. Though I will say I was really rooting hard for Tamina and Natalya to win the tag titles.
Yeah.
But I was glad that Tamina kind of had that WrestleMania moment night one, doing the Superfly leap, you know, and getting the victory. I thought that was pretty cool. But I would have liked to have seen them win the tag titles last night.
I think we were all rooting for them, but just like you said before, story, it just wasn't enough for them to get there yet. And just for a WrestleMania moment, for WrestleMania moment's sake, maybe it wasn't the best move then, because especially you have Nia and Shayna that are just, they're not, all right, let's be honest, they're not like the greatest team ever, but they're names and they're stars. And I feel like that kind of precluded Natty and Tamina from getting what everyone kind of wanted to have happen.
Yeah, I just wish Nia and Shayna would break up, because I think they would be better off on their own than together. It just doesn't really mesh for me, but that's just me. I mean, some people must enjoy it because their reign continues. So,
Dave, were you surprised as the rest of us to see Bobby Lashley retain?
No, I mean, I actually thought Lashley was going to retain. I didn't think Drew was going to get the title back. I think it was cool to have him in that moment in front of fans, because, man, what a tough job McIntyre had. You know, his title reigns were in front of zero crowd. That had to be so rough. You know, get his WrestleMania moment beating Brock in front of no fans. But I think he'll get his time again. But I think it was too soon to take the title off of Lashley. And then they broke up the Hurt Business. If they would have taken the title off of Lashley, then it would have been like, why did you ever break up the Hurt Business to begin with? I'm still sore about that. So, yeah, I mean, but no, I'm not surprised. And I'm glad that was like the first match. So the first, you know, the first guy to really come out was McIntyre. So I thought that was kind of a cool moment for him.
Was there anything on the show that, or both shows, that truly did surprise you, where you're just like, whoa, didn't see that coming?
Yeah, how good Bad Bunny was.
Like, no, dude, you're right.
Seriously, he was great, you know? And I thought that was that was like a really surprise. But as far as like shocks or surprises, there really wasn't one. I thought we were going to get one in the Orton Fiend match. When those lights went out, I'm like, oh my God, who's going to be in the ring? And then it went on forever. It's like staying dark. I'm like, oh my God, is it going to be the Undertaker? Like, who's coming back? And then it was like nothing. It was just empty ring. I was like, oh my God, that's so bad.
Yeah. To me, I think the biggest, I don't even know if this is a surprise or not, or a shock, but like the fact that Sheamus won the United States Championship. I mean, he's kind of earned it, I guess, because his work has been incredible and he's had a heck of a run during this pandemic era. But to me, seeing that happen kind of didn't throw me for a loop, but kind of was like, all right.
Yeah, it was just really getting into Riddle's, you know, character and everything. Not that he's going anywhere, but I think it's kind of that Sheamus has had such a great year and he's kind of been like an MVP with all these matches he's had, like you said, during the pandemic. I think that was kind of like a tip of the cap for him, especially since he's added a main event picture to give him a title like the U.S. Championship. And, you know, he's reigned before as U.S. champion, but I think that's going to be a great feud between him and Riddle, because both those guys are stiff as hell and they're both so physical in the ring. So that this is going to be really cool. And I'm wondering if they're going to do something funky tonight on Raw, like a rematch or something like that. That could be cool.
True.
I do like, to go to Kevin's point, Sheamus and McIntyre have been battling for the past couple of months and their matches have been nothing but great. Like the two of them just been hanging and banging and beating, aside from that goofy finish where they went head to head with the steps that one episode.
Yeah.
That was a fart in church, but everything else, like just the roughness and the beating the hell out of each other and all that. I want to pivot back to Bad Bunny. Where do you rate Bad Bunny on the celebrity match list? Do you think that he may have been the greatest ever, or do you put him near the top? Where do you rank him?
Well, I'm going to exclude Pat McAfee, because Pat McAfee, professional athlete, like Like, I'm going to take him out of the equation.
So
if,
would you,
if we're keeping it, go ahead.
So would you exclude Lawrence Taylor as well?
It's a good, yeah, I probably would. All right, then you know what? Then I'll include Pat McAfee then. Go. So if I include Pat McAfee, I got to put Pat McAfee at number one.
That's fair.
And then you got to put LT at two. I mean, going head to head with Bigelow, even though, dude, he was completely white, but he was asked to do a lot. So I'd probably put Bad Bunny at three. But if you're going to take out like a professional athlete,
yeah,
like LT and McAfee, you got to put Bad Bunny at one, right?
I'm 100% with you.
What about 100%. Mr. T? I mean, WrestleMania 2 was the shits, but WrestleMania 1, come on.
Even WrestleMania 1, he was the shits. Like, I would put Bad Bunny above Mr. T.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm with Dave here. I'd put Bad Bunny up above just about. And maybe the only person I might put above him would be Melissa Menounos.
Maria Menounos.
Oh, Maria Menounos. She did a good job, too, in that, you're right, in that WrestleMania match. She did a really good job.
You know who? You know who's low key that I always thought was amazing for her spot? It was very short. Snooki.
Oh, get out of here!
Come on, bro. She hit that handspring elbow and she was doing all her flips and stuff. That was good shit. It was perfect for what it needed to be. You know, very limited. Get in there, hit your couple spots. Match is over. Everybody celebrates.
And that was 27, right? That was 27.
I think.
Didn't that match start to heat with John Morrison, and then John Morrison was gone, and then now he's finally back? But I think that started with the whole Trish stuff with him and not giving her a hug at the end of the match and all that.
Sure did. He went. He went on. He was like, "Hey, how come Melina's not in this spot?" And well, you know,
that's news to me.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, big heat, big heat,
big time heat, baby,
big heat.
We got friend of the show Dave LaGreca on the show with us at Dave LaGreca, excuse me, at David LaGreca 1 on the Twitter machine. You want to follow him? He's got a pro wrestling tee store. He's got tons of t-shirts at Busted Open Radio on Twitter. Oh boy.
Oh geez.
Are you serious, guys? You guys set me up. You set me up.
I did set you up. Of course. You know I have friends everywhere, asshole. Everywhere. Yeah, you miss me?
I can't believe you disrespected me like you did at my party. That was a gift from me. I gifted you that shirt. I gave you that shirt with love. With love, I gave you that shirt.
And your point is, I was wearing your shirt. I can do with your shirt whatever the fuck I want.
I love it.
So, I mean, David, you are, like I said, you were dig your grave way before we had this issue, what you said. And then, like I said, I apologize. And then you're like bringing stuff like we're a couple or something that you can't let go. Like, I don't take that very long.
First of all, I was a big supporter of yours before it was cool. Now you're like the coolest thing. Like, now you're a big deal. Before you were a big star, I was a supporter, big supporter. All right, bought your shirts. I didn't ask for shirts. I never asked for it for free. I bought your shirts. What? I have four of them. I bought with my hard-earned money. I could have used that money to buy food for my daughters or my wife. No, I had to buy your shirt.
Well, that was
and
your.
Then I take a shirt. People, the last shirt I had, the last Dave LaGreca shirt. Girl shirt in that size. Thousands of people want to buy it. No, I got to give this to Thunder Rosa. And then you rip it up. Rip it up. Yes. And then, and I don't know, you guys might be able to confirm this. I don't know. Rumor has it that Thunder Rosa took the shirt, put it on eBay, and sold the ripped up shirt on eBay. Making money off my name.
Of course.
Off of eBay.
Of course. I'm a carny, okay? You think I'm not going to make money out of you, David? You're a bigger star than I was before, a couple months ago, you know? You're like I said, nothing is going to save you this May 1st. I'm going to beat your ass so good.
I have been yelling and screaming. I've been using my voice and my platform on SiriusXM to make sure that anybody that people are flying in, okay, to Buda, Texas, on May the 1st. That's how you, is that how you say it? Buda, Buda, Texas? Is that, am I saying it right? Yeah, yes, Buda, Texas. Buda, Texas. All right. People are flying into Buda, Texas to see this match.
As they should.
I hope it's sold out. I hope you're going. I hope you're going. I hope you're going. I want that place sold out to see Thunder Rosa apologize to me face to face in front of an audience. That's what I want May 1st. Thanks, Mission Dave. Pro Wrestling. Go to missionprowrestling.net for your tickets.
Yes. If not, if you're not going to be there, you should go on titlematchandnetwork.com and check how poor Dave's chest is going to be so red and probably bloody after what's going to happen to him.
Now, now, Thunder Rosa, I don't want to throw Dave under the bus, but since he threw me under the bus once and he alluded that I had a side piece in a cameo, Dave LaGreca earlier tonight said...
I call him like I see him. I call him like I see him. You as a married man shouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. Okay? All right? Morally, I had to say something. Morally, I had to say something about that, but continue.
Dave gets his second shot a couple days before he flies out, and he was hoping he was not going to be well enough to fly out. He's already looking for a way to get out of this match, Thunder Rosa.
I would, too. I definitely would, too.
Yeah, I don't blame him, but I mean... It sounds like he got himself into this predicament.
He did. And he I know he's enjoying every single moment of it. And good. I congratulate you, David. You're getting what you want. But May 1st, you probably are not gonna get what you want.
Listen, all I know is this beautiful chest, this beautiful Swiss Italian hairy chest, there will be no marks on this chest, no redness. No scarring, nothing, nothing. I am going to show up on May the 1st. I'm going to step into the ring, and you're going to apologize. And I'll be the bigger man. I'll let you apologize, and then that's it. And we can move on, and we can move on.
All right, David. You know what? All right. You think that. But for now, I got to go. I just came here again to make my presence known and let everybody know that May 1st, then that might be an apology. Just saying.
Wow.
Saying that. I'll see you.
Ripped up my shirt. I can't.
I hope your dream is dead. I really do.
I'll see you May the 1st. I'll see you May the 1st. Mission Pro Wrestling. I'll see you May the 1st.
I'm like counting the days and the hours and the seconds. You already know.
Right here. I got it on my calendar. It's on my calendar. May 1st. The 1st of May. May 1st.
When you should put when I die. When I die first. My funeral. That should be your funeral. Wow. Just saying. Just saying.
Wow.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Thunder Rosa. At Mission Pro Wrest on Twitter, missionprowrestling.net, titlematchnetwork.com to stream live. Dave, how you holding up, bud?
I can't believe you guys set me up like that. Kevin. I mean,
it was all, you know what,
Kevin,
Dave?
Not for nothing.
Us.
Matt,
one of us.
Kevin put the hood over his head. He didn't want to be seen because he felt uncomfortable.
I felt so uncomfortable.
That was all me, Dave. I set that up.
You're still sore about the whole thing.
I mean, my wife thinks I have a side piece now, Dave.
That's smart.
No, it's not smart. My wife will. You think what Thunder Rose is going to do to you? My wife will fucking kill me. My wife will kill me.
You have to think that, hey, you know what? At any time, I'm out. So that right?
No.
So you got to be like, oh, he's got something else on his side.
No.
At any moment, it can be a bounce.
No, see, I'm not as confident as you.
You need the threat.
There's no threat.
I'm trying to help you.
There's no
trying to help you.
Dave, look at me.
Dave's 100% right with this. Absolutely.
There's no helping me though. I'm lucky enough to find somebody to put up with me. You think I'm going to jeopardize that?
Let her know that. Come on, man.
She already knows that. She wakes up next to me every day and she goes, this is the biggest charity case of my life. You lucky son of a bitch.
I got to admit, you're right. I got to admit, you're right.
It doesn't happen often.
First of all, you guys set me up.
No,
cool.
Dave, to be fair, to we're going to let Tony and Kevin off the hook. I set you up, and I'm not an idiot. We're going to get some ratings for this. We're getting some people might listen to the Shining Wizards when they hear Thunder Rosa called in to talk to Dave LaGreca.
Let me see. Let me tell you something. Every show I do, she finds a way to hop on.
Oh yeah.
If you go to her social media account, all she does is tweet about me. All right. I'm in her head. She says to me, we're like an old couple that I can't get over it, but she's the one everywhere I go. She's there stalking me.
I mean, she's, you know, she's from the graveyard.
This is like an
Dave.
Episode of Law and Order. I can't get away.
Which version of Law and Order?
I'm not even going to say.
SVU?
And then tweets about, tell me I'm not in her head. Don't.
Oh, you're in her head, all right.
I'm in her head.
Let me ask you this. Does your family understand what you're getting yourself into? Because not only is she an extremely talented professional wrestler, she's a serious badass MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Listen, I have said this a million times.
Okay.
Look at me. You guys,
I love you,
seen
brother.
Me.
I don't want to lose you as a friend, my friend.
You guys seen me in person.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
All right. I don't have an athletic bone in my body. Okay. I quit the wrestling team freshman year in high school, and since then I haven't run a lap. All right, I am not an athlete.
Oh.
This is not a match.
Okay.
This is a face-off. What this is I'm going to step into the ring, and then she is going to apologize to me, and then that's going to be it. And that's that.
She's going to smack your face off. Is what's going to. You're like the chest.
Don't you dare.
No, you're antagonizing her. You're like my chest. She's not going to touch your chest, Dave. She's going to hit you in the face. In radio. You don't need to have a good face for that. She can fuck your face off.
You really don't. You're right. So I don't need the face.
I'm not I'm not saying you don't have a good face, Dave. I'm just saying she can go
matter.
After
it. Doesn't matter. So I don't need to impress anybody. I'm almost 50. Here's the thing. I never signed on for a match.
Yeah, but you're never flying out there. You're gonna be there. What did you're gonna step in
going
the ring? What do you think is
gonna
happen?
I'm going to be there. Gonna be there, but.
You know, she comes into the studio. She's in your house. You're going to step in the ring. You're in her house now.
Here's the thing.
You got to bring backup, bro.
All right, guys. And do you really think I go all the way out there on my own? Come on.
Oh, boy.
Do you not think that I have backup plans?
Oh, I think you do.
Today the first.
Doesn't Mark Henry live in Texas?
It's very, he lives maybe less, it could be less than 30 minutes away from the venue.
So you're saying you could be like John Cena going against Nexus, where it's like, whether it's I have do it by myself or whether I have backup, I'm going to take every single one of you out. And it turns out I got me some help. And then like Great Khali's going to come out and then Brett's going to come out.
I'm not going to say who, but there I will have somebody have my back. But here's but seriously, let's put all this aside. Let's put all the joke and talk serious.
All right.
Am I not right in this situation?
Listen, I got your back forever.
She said, I'm sorry. She said, I apologize. Well, she's on Monday. She's on that show, that the AEW, what's it called? The
Elevation.
Monday show? Yeah, Elevation. She's on AEW Dark. She's on AEW Dynamite. She's on NWA Power. She's on four different shows a week, plus all the other indie stuff.
Great point.
Instead of saying, Dave, how about wearing my shirt on any one of those shows?
I think it's, and if there's audio where she's set. Now, look, I'm not trying to get, I don't need Thunder Rosa coming after me. I already got enough problems with Bobby Lashley. And who else have I been calling out? I don't know. I've been calling out everybody, Dave.
King Mo
fucking, he sucks. Get out of the wrestling business, King Mo.
I love King Mo. You're crazy.
He's garbage. Crazy. He's fucking garbage in the ring.
Get him.
But
yes, like I think she did you wrong. I would be upset too if I said, hey, Dave, will you wear our shirt to an event? And you said yes, and then you showed up in a I'm Dave LaGreca guy t-shirt or whatever, and it's not
that'd be
shiny.
Wrong.
Yes.
That would be, and the other thing is, you know how this whole thing started, though? How it escalated to that. But do you know how it all started? Like, what really originally got her angry at me? Do you know what it was?
No, what?
It was because I wore a Britt Baker t-shirt. Yeah.
All right.
I do my WrestleMania t-shirt challenge where we're all these, I had to wear 70 different wrestling shirts, 70. And one of those 70 days I wore a Britt Baker t-shirt and she went nuts.
But now
Britt Baker, who I'm friends with, Britt Baker didn't get angry at me because I wore a Thunder Rosa shirt.
And the
day after that match with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, I wore a Thunder Rosa shirt.
Yeah, I don't understand why she's so upset. And one of those days, by the way, you wore a Shining Wizard shirt. Thank you.
I did.
You didn't get any heat from any other shows because you wore one of our shirts. Because we all.
Why would I?
Exactly.
Why would I?
So let me ask you, how long do you think you're going to be in the hospital after she kicks the shit out of you?
Oh, Jesus.
No, because I got to know, because if you're there for May 5th, you might be able to celebrate, parlay it into a little Cinco de Mayo action.
Here's the thing. I'm flying out April 30th. I got everything on my calendar. I'm like Fritz von Erich. I got like my calendar, my bookings.
You pretend to be a Nazi? What?
No. I fly out Friday, April 30th.
Right.
Then Saturday, May 1st, and I'm flying back. I even say, look at this. What does it say under May 2nd? What does
that say? Flying home.
Flying home.
Fucking home.
There's no hospital stay. There's nothing.
All right. Well, if you could, put in a good word with Gabby over there, if they need someone to replace you, I mean, you know, we'll come in and hold your spot for a couple of days. I'll bust it open and we won't scream at her for wearing an Islanders sweatshirt.
He was so mad.
Holy shit.
Don't disrespect my New Jersey Islanders.
There's no
dead silence with a microphone in front of him. Holy shit, dude.
Look, I'm fucking, we're going on 10 years. We got to get an in somewhere, boys. Jesus Christ.
We've lost Dave forever, I feel like.
No, Dave.
No, come on now. Dave.
Maybe
no,
me. Maybe me, but you guys can still be friends with him.
Nah, I'm with you forever. You gave me a free pizza.
Anytime I see Dave LaGreca by the pizza truck. That was at the Rock and Roll Festival.
That's right. Where are you going next? Are you going out? Where are you going out next?
Let's see. Wednesday I'll be in Kearney Point and at Port Liberty in Jersey City with the food truck.
Okay, all right.
Wait, you're gonna be at Kearney Point?
Yes.
Shit, I might have to take a ride out.
Please, I don't do anything over there. It's pretty quiet.
I've seen you at work before, I understand.
So Dave, if you had to take one thing away from WrestleMania weekend. First of all, did you watch the Hall of Fame, by the way?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched most of it.
I couldn't, and I understand.
It was difficult. It was a difficult watch, yeah.
It seemed totally, totally produced. It seemed totally, totally, like it seemed like the inductees couldn't get across what they wanted to get across.
Yeah, it felt like it didn't feel sincere. Like it kind of felt like it lost, it didn't have that special element that it usually has. It was a tough watch. I'm glad they did it. And, you know, and it, listen, they got it, but I can't wait for this like Thunderdome. I hope they like blow the Thunderdome up.
Yeah. Dude. You and me, Bo. And was there any reason that you know of or that you can speculate on as to why they couldn't even have like the wrestlers in the crowd? Or was it just because it's taped or what?
I think because it was taped and stuff. I think, you know, it's that, you know, that's a good point of having like everybody out there or something like that. But that would have made it good because you really don't notice the crowd that's in the arena. It's mostly the people that are on the floor. But it was a tough watch, and especially like the via satellite things. But as bad as that was, I mean, that's how much I enjoyed like WrestleMania. I thought they did a great job. Dude, I actually liked it more than what I normally do for a WrestleMania, because I don't like everything lit. I kind of like when it goes dark and you just see the ring. Like I really liked their setup the last couple of nights. I thought it was perfect.
I couldn't agree more. And just like, because some of the, going back to the Hall of Fame, like the best part is sometimes seeing the genuine reactions of the younger wrestlers, seeing like people that they idolized or maybe that they've watched like get inducted and tell their stories, and that's just, or their contemporaries too, because sometimes you'll see like Sergeant Slaughter laughing at you.
I know that's always that. Dude, I gotta be honest with you, man. I'm scared shitless about May 1st. I gotta see what else is going on, and I can maybe. Because now I got the whole thing with the chest going on, like, you know, ground beef on the chest and the sores on the chest and stuff like that.
Stretched out that shirt pretty good.
Singlet, D'Lo Brown chest protector, maybe a sweatshirt underneath the singlet. You know, layer it up, dude.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what am I gonna wear to this shindig?
You could Bret Hart Goldberg and put a fucking tin pan under your shirt and then smack, and then she breaks her hand. Now she can't chop you.
I gotta figure out something.
I was gonna say go full Shield garb.
Ooh.
But I think the gold the plate is better actually.
Yeah, but military.
Like, kind of like the catcher, the thing the catcher wears, the chest protector.
Yeah.
Well, that might be good. You're such good friends with Sammy Callahan. I'm sure he'll lend you one of his flak vests so you could, you know, put one of those things.
That guy gives me nightmares.
You could you could just no show and then tell her you were playing softball like Sid.
Oh, Matt's got the zingers.
I'm full of them. You guys have Jericho on tomorrow on Busted Open, and he just did that Broken Skull session with Stone Cold. What did you think about that that beautiful piece?
Oh, I thought it was great. I Jericho's one of my all-time favorites to kind of take that ride back through his career. And I'm glad he was able to mention New Japan, and I'm glad he was able to mention AEW. And, you know, I'm a big AEW fan, so I really enjoyed it. And he didn't hold any punches. Like, he told the whole reason why after WrestleMania 33, you know, he was kind of like done. You know, after that great story with Kevin Owens and they were in the number two spot. And then that story, like when he was in the New Japan locker room about, you know, don't we need to get approval? And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you're a wrestler, you know, this is what we do. So I thought the stories were awesome. And I think Stone Cold's a great interviewer too. Yeah. He's amazing. So I got heat with Stone Cold.
Wait, whoa. How?
Dude.
So, you know, I do that. It's a LaGreca show on YouTube. And one of the things we did is top 10 Kiss songs. It was me and Snake Sabo of Skid Row did our top 10 Kiss songs. And it's like, listen, you know, it's opinion stuff. Like,
right.
Your 10 favorite are going to be different than my 10 favorite, you know? And then, like, and then we came up with, like, a quintessential top 10 list. So we kind of argue... Snake and I argue, and then we come up with, like, we agree on the definitive top 10 Kiss song list. So my favorite Kiss song of all time, I don't know if you guys are Kiss fans or not, I don't know, but my favorite song, all right, you're not that big, whatever.
I'm in. I got you. I'm with you.
All right. So my favorite song is Mr. Speed off of Rock and Roll Over. That's my all-time favorite Kiss song.
Okay.
And, like, Stone Cold went to, like, Twitter and, like, went off on me about that being my favorite Kiss song.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think that's bullshit, okay?
Oh, Matt, you're going to have heat with Stone Cold too now?
If fucking Stone Cold even knew who we were, I'd be fucking over the moon, let alone if I had heat with him, that'd be great. That's Dave's opinion, all right? No one,
my opinion.
All due respect, no one wants to drink his fucking gross IPAs, okay, Steve?
Dude,
They're good.
Well, I don't drink beer, okay? You drink Budweiser. Budweiser tastes like piss. Now he's drinking.
I love Bud Light.
Not Bud
White. You gotta change it up every once in a while, Matt.
Look,
the guy's a legend.
I know he's a legend, but you can't be mad at you because you have a personal preference just because he doesn't like your top 10 Kiss songs.
Can you see that picture?
No. It's all bright, Dave.
It's
picturing you and me, Matt, from the pizza truck.
Oh, nice. I kind of saw it there for a quick second.
Oh, send that. You got to send that to him.
I have it on Facebook.
Oh, he has it framed, actually. It's actually behind him above the, what is that, a Jericho picture?
Yeah,
Matt?
It's above the Jericho picture.
That's
it's
right.
Okay,
it's out of frame. It's out of frame.
Right next to
Shane. Is that true?
No, what? It's not true.
No, you don't care.
Dave, let me, you know what, Dave? It might be in my wrestling memorabilia photo album in the other room, to be honest with you.
I want to ask Dave one last question. Well, not one last question, but another question before we let him go, because I know he's got to watch Raw.
I got Raw to watch.
That's right.
Minutes.
You mentioned how you're a big fan of AEW, and as we are as well. Is there any particular like young talent that you see excelling to a top tier level, whether it be a tag? Because everyone's heavy on tag teams now. Everyone's heavy on stables now, and it's not just AEW. So let's not pump that. Like, everyone's got stables. It seems to be the new thing now in wrestling. It's another question, but in terms of AEW young talent that you really enjoy watching, is there anyone that comes to mind right away?
Was there a period in that question? Like, that was a very long question.
Well, you know why? Because I combined two into one by accident and did not mean to do that. And I had some daddy sodas.
I'm sorry. No, Kevin. It's all good.
Oh, come on. Now I'm going to be the laughingstock of the show now? Come on.
Just, Kev, you could be the laughingstock today, but just think of who's going to be the laughingstock on May 1st.
Oh, come on. Let the man answer the question first.
Kevin, you hid during the whole Thunder Rosa segment.
I was uncomfortable.
But why can't you have my back say something?
Because, Dave, I will always have your back. I just don't have...
Everyone could have having my back after the fact. Oh. You're supposed to have my back during the fact, not after the fact. What good is that? Well,
I like her too. What do you want me to say?
I mean, I'd ask you to repeat the question, but Raw starts in 8 minutes.
God damn it, Dave. All right, hold on 1 second.
No, to answer the question, seriously, Anthony Bowen's a Max Caster.
Yeah, 100%. Friends. Beautiful. Yes. Love it.
All right, how about this question, Dave? 70s Kiss or 80s Kiss?
70s Kiss.
Right?
Hey, let me ask you this. Did Mr. Austin offer his favorite Kiss song, or did he just shit?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I will, and in defense of Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's a very unpopular opinion that Mr. Speed was my number one Kiss song.
Okay, what was Austin's number one Kiss song? Detroit Rock City?
I don't think he mentioned it. I think he just, you know, wanted to make the jab at me about having Mr. Speed at number one.
You hack. I'm gonna fucking send him a tweet.
Hey, Dave,
right
let
now.
Me ask you this.
Oh, boy. Dave, you got 6 minutes?
Let me ask you this, Dave. My first Kiss experience was when they had no makeup on and it was God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
Oh my God, that's like late in the game.
Yeah, man. I'm a little younger than these guys. So that was, I remember watching it at my grandparents. I never knew Kiss had makeup on before that I, you know.
No, I'm old, so I got into Kiss like 77, 78. So, I mean, but to answer Matt's question, there's a lot about 80s Kiss I like. I just think it's inconsistent 80s Kiss.
Yeah, I love that song. That was a great ballad.
He's not even paying attention. He's texting his side piece.
No, I'm tweeting at Steve Austin.
He's not even paying attention to me. Don't tweet at Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There's no stopping him. When Matt's on Twitter.
I want to know what his number one is.
There's no stopping him. You can't stop him.
What's he going to say? Fucking 10,000 man?
That's a bit of a bitch move on Steve's part. He's known for that. He's like, he doesn't like something. He'll shit on it, but he won't give it.
I'm trying to find the original tweet because I'm thinking I'm making it sound worse than it really is.
All right. So I'll refrain from sending this until we figure this out.
So, don't tag me because
tag Busted Open, Dave LaGreca, Bully Ray.
I tell you, the first I discovered Kiss Unplugged, and then I went right down the rabbit hole, man. And I discovered
That's later in the game than
like way down the rabbit hole. Like I went all the way back, and then all the solo albums and all that stuff because I am also a little younger.
So, Dave, let me ask you, when your wife has to make arrangements on May 2nd for your return, is it going to be in a Gene Simmons Kiss casket?
Listen.
Nice, Kiss casket.
When's the next time you guys are on? Let's see.
Every Monday, Dave. We're on every Monday.
All right. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, go up against Monday Night Raw. All right, so.
Well, guess what, Dave? There's no fucking night of the week. There's not wrestling on anymore, so.
That's true.
Come on. Give a dog a bone.
All right, so, you know what? I'll come on with you guys on Monday, May 3rd.
Great.
Lock it up.
Awesome.
Before, do you want to come on before or after Ice Train?
We have Ice Train on that night.
Yes, I booked Ice Train today. Yes.
Yeah. All right. We love double booking.
No, I love it. I'm off. I just want to know when you want to come on.
Just, you know what?
7 o'clock.
We'll do what you like you did to Thunder Rosa. Just send me the link and I'll hop in whenever I want.
Okay. I mean, you have the link. It's the same link, so.
Yeah, you know you have an open invitation anytime you want.
Your family.
Why, do you want to talk to Ice Train too?
Sure.
WCW legend, man.
Oh, big Ice Train guy.
DDP Yoga legend. My man's been on DDP Yoga quite a few times.
All right, I got to go.
Yeah, fair enough. We should probably go too.
Please make sure you tell good friend Chris Jericho that the Shining Wizard said hi.
Tell him that he still hasn't worn my shirt yet.
Back in the day, 2016?
He's been on twice. I don't remember when.
Yeah, twice. That's right.
Twice.
Yeah, he's been on
twice. Was one of them 2016?
Sure. Yeah, whenever that show was at, when Fozzy was playing at Dingbats, that's what he was on to promote.
And then I waited 2 hours outside of Dingbats in Clifton, and I tried to give him a t-shirt. Oh, my God. Holy shit. What a coincidence. Dude, that's insane. Yeah, I waited 2 hours outside of the show afterwards to give him a Shining Wizards t-shirt, the very one that you're wearing right now.
Kevin, and he just wanted to get on the bus and blow Fozzy. That's what
I gave it to his manager, and his manager probably never gave it to him. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, my bet is it probably never reached him.
Nope.
But you know what? Though. I'll make sure I mention you, Kev, when I talk to him tomorrow.
I'm gonna listen. Yeah, I'm gonna listen. You better mention it, or you're gonna owe me an apology.
Thunder Rosa and us, sir.
Dave, I'll mention you next time I talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
I actually that question because I really enjoyed the question. I actually wrote down the question he asked me about the young AEW talent. I'm gonna use that. So I wrote it down. I had enough room in my notebook to write down
you
the
son
question.
Of a bitch.
Wait, how
you
long do you
son
have
of a bitch.
For tomorrow? Is he on for all 3 hours?
I did want to ask you about the stables, though, and your thoughts on how wrestling's become stable heavy, but we'll
wrestling's
save that for May 3rd.
Unstable.
Yeah, we'll save that for May 3rd.
All right, buddy.
At David LaGreca1 on Twitter, at Busted Open Radio, every day, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, Fight Nation 156. It's worth signing up for SiriusXM. And the podcast is free if, as Dave said, you're too cheap to subscribe to SiriusXM. Plus, the masterclass is Sunday. They got busted open 7 days a week. Dave, a pleasure as always. Thank you, as always. And we look forward to talk to you May 3rd.
All right.
Love you, brother. Be well.
Later.
Be safe,
bye.
Dave. See you.
Now, here's the disappointing thing. Dave's now going to spend 3 hours in front of a TV going, I wish I would have talked to those guys for 3 more hours. It's more fun than this shit.
I don't even, you know what, as bad as Raw is, I don't know if that's accurate.
Oh, it definitely, 100%.
I gotta put this
Facebook
now.
Was lit up. People were loving that's the Thunder strange. Rosa did a run-in. Good. It's good shit, pal.
That is good shit. God, I love Dave.
Dave's the best.
The fact that he continues to support us and do that, it's just, it's one of those like kind of like mind exploding moments. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that shitty show of his is still running after all this time. All
right.
No, they've definitely got, they've, look, they curse, if not as much as us, more than us now. It's
I know.
Very...
Well, he learned from the best. What can I tell you? Well,
they got job security. That's their job.
Whew.
Right. We got picks to go over.
Oh, boy.
We could talk
a
little bit.
I think I may have won the weekend. I'm not sure, but I think I may have won the weekend.
We could talk a little bit about WrestleMania and Stand and Deliver if you want. I know I watched NWA Power. So did Tony, Impact. We could do whatever you guys want to do.
I'm game, baby.
Well, is it too early? I feel like I need a breather.
It's not too early. We're right on schedule.
It's 8 o'clock.
So great. We'll talk about picks. We'll talk about all the great wrestling that happened this weekend and this week and all that other happy horseshit. But Kev, what do we always say?
Hey, you know what we always say? We say back after this.
We We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you could combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support The Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with The Shining Wizards.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your host of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. The mother, same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast. What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking about professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also, check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Yeah, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram, also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
K.
Sorry, mate.
K. Take it easy.
K. K, K, K.
All right, we're back. We're going to thank those that support us over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, for as little as $1 a month. That's right, $1 a month. You can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I recommend the $3 a month tier, as you get a monthly watch-along and two profile features, one on a wrestler and one on a supercard show, a mega show, whatever you want to call it, pay-per-view from any of the wrestling promotions out there in wrestling world. But we want to thank those that support us. So we're going to start with Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards, Manny Carrazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards, Danny and Anthony Russinello, the AOP of the SWP, Ryan Arthur over at Elementary Brewery, elementary.com. If you're looking to get some local brew, check out Elementary over in Hackensack, New Jersey. They do a great job over there. Sean Toe, Sean Calejo, Ryan Schlong, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Catherine Hensler at ondeckic.com. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Maddie Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls of Kathy Hummer. Mark Parloni. Happy birthday, Mark.
Birthday, Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Kenny Hossie, Mr. Scotch Drinks More himself. Jay Kopp, the big cop of pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. He carried the interview Friday night on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, the Bad Luck Fale. So check that out, the Shining Wizards Network. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
Yeah.
Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch at True Prince of Pro on the Twitter machine. Make sure you're following him. The Bergman, he's the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting. Carrie Cowling. Roll. Brendan Heaney. And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to unmute the microphone, and then they're going to be in William Mercier's hands, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Kevin Garifo. Again, special thanks to at Dave LaGreca, at Dave LaGreca 1 on the Twitter machine. Make sure you're following him. Busted Open Radio, Monday through Saturday on Sirius XM 156 Fight Nation, 9 a.m. to noon. It's Dave, it's Bully Ray, it's Mark Henry, it's Tommy Dreamer. And then they have their podcast, too. So if you don't subscribe to Sirius XM, you can check them out. Special thanks to Thunder Rosa at Thunder Rosa 22 for jumping in here. Talk some shit to Dave. She's got her own promotion at Mission Pro Wrestling, at Mission Pro Res on the Twitter machine. May 1st, okay. Locked and Loaded, Buda, Texas. MissionProWrestling.net. General admission tickets, $20. Kids get in for $10. You can't be in Texas. You can stream it live at TitleMatchNetwork.com. La Rosa Negra takes on Red Velvet. Holiday takes on Genocide. Tesha Price takes on Maddie Renkowski. Rachel Rose takes on Viperess. Alex Gracia takes on Marty Bell. And, of course, Dave LaGreca is going to be in the ring face-to-face with Thunder Rosa, and she's going to smack the ever-living dog shit out of him.
Unfortunate.
It's a shame.
Unfortunate for Dave. Good for us, though. Hopefully we get a little rub out of this. You know what I'm saying?
As long as they beat the shit out of each other in Shining Wizards shirts, I'll be a happy guy.
You know who got the shit beat out of them this weekend in picks?
You?
Oof, boy, did I take a fucking bath. Holy Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
See, Tony, that was probably the most perfectly timed drop that you've ever done in the history of the show. It was so good.
I ate a mega shit sandwich. NXT, I took a couple gambles. Kevin and Tony, you both went 9-1 over the both nights, and you only lost the same match, and that was the scramble match, the six way dance.
Wait. So Kevin and I were both.
Well, not for NXT. We haven't gotten to Mania yet.
Well, for one night we were, right?
Two nights.
No, one night. We were 9-1, so we had to have gone perfect one night.
Well, no.
Yes, yes. You both went perfect on night two.
Night two.
Of NXT Stand and Deliver.
And I think we lost the Bronson Reed one, right?
Or Bear yes, Bronson. The gauntlet match. You yeah. guys, that's the only match you guys lost.
Who did you take in that match?
We all took LA Knight in that match.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I gambled on the tag team match, and I took the Grizzled Young Vets.
See, that's not a gamble, though. That's a solid investment.
I also gambled on Jordan Devlin to win the Cruiserweight title.
Not a gamble.
And I think I lost one more. Let me see.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. I know you didn't like me commenting and whatnot during the show last week, but did you enjoy reading my picks?
I always enjoy reading your picks.
We love reading your picks. I mean,
because I was thinking about it too. Like, at first, Matt pissed me off. He's like, I'm like, I got to fucking do picks for four shows now. This pissed me off. And then I started writing them, and I'm like, I miss doing this. I haven't done this in so long. It was so much fun.
Tony,
I might just do that every time now. I won't even be on the show. I'll just fucking let somebody else read my picks.
Picks turning on you?
No, the art of doing the picks is turning on me. The picks themselves are still a bunch of dog shit. It's like baking a cake, like making the cake and mixing the batter and putting it in the oven. Like, that's good shit. But then eating all the cake?
Wait, that's the opposite. The making of the cake should be the part that annoys you, and the eating of the cake should bring you fulfillment.
No, because if that were true, then the fact that I went 9-1 on the picks would be fulfillment. It's really
okay. You're talking about this specific cake. You're not talking about cooking in general.
No, no.
Because usually the making of the food is the annoying part. The eating of the food is the great part.
Yeah, but you know what though? Like, you have to enjoy the making of it, because usually the eating is like quicker. If that makes sense.
It does. And you know what? You can always have your cake and eat it too, Tony.
Yeah, but you don't want to eat too much of the cake.
Oh, come on. That was such a great line that you just fucking guy. Have your cake and eat it too is perfect.
All right,
Matt. How are we doing with picks?
So you guys went 9-1 with NXT. I went 7-3. Night one of WrestleMania, Kevin, you went 6-1. Tony, 5-2. I went an abysmal 4-3.
Fucking went with Shane McMahon. That's why.
Yeah, you went with, let's see, what do we got here? We all lost Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. I was surprised at that, but I was fine with the result.
Right.
I just wasn't fine with the whole fucking distraction thing. I didn't get it.
What else? I lost New Day. I really didn't think AJ and Omos were going to win the tag titles. I fucking hate it. I don't get it. They're not a tag team.
Yeah, but almost is his fucking muscle, dude. It's like the modern day Shawn Michaels and Diesel. I think Kevin said that a few weeks ago, no?
Almost won me over, man. He already had me, but he won me over at WrestleMania.
Tony took Shane McMahon. I took Seth Rollins because I just have no faith in the WWE. So I don't know what they're going to do with Cesaro now.
What did he do this? Isn't that the shit he does? Like,
yeah.
Punching?
And I think that's it, right? There are only seven matches, right? One, two,
there
three,
are seven
four,
each
five,
night, I think.
Six. Oh, we all took Tamina and Natty to win the tag team Turmoil.
That was
no, I didn't take Tamina. Oh, the Turmoil, yeah.
Turmoil, yes. Turmoil, yes. Night two, Kevin went 5-2. Tony went 4-3.
Oh my god! Did
and
I
went 3-4.
Yahtzee,
you didn't do so terrible.
I didn't do so good either.
Well, you had winning other than the last night.
I'm sorry?
You had winning nights other than the last night. Like, you were plus other than the last night.
Right, but I needed that, you know. We all won on Rhea Ripley. We all won on Apollo Crews. We all won on Kevin Owens. We all lost on The Fiend.
What the fuck was that, dude?
Me and Tony lost on Tag Team Turmoil. I thought Tamina and Natty were going to get their WrestleMania moment. And I thought because Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler fucking hate each other, why are they still the women's tag team champions?
Because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I lost, me and Kevin lost Riddle. Tony, you picked Sheamus to retain, or win, excuse me.
Fella.
And then we all picked different people to win the main event. Kevin came out on top. He took Roman Reigns. Tony took Edge. And I took Daniel Bryan.
That's right. Ooh.
Well, there you go.
Big dog, baby.
For the weekend, Kevin went 20-4.
Ooh, Kevin.
Tony went 18-6.
Not bad.
And still I went 14-10.
Oh, you're in the
all right.
So I am.
Comparatively speaking, that's not good.
I am 10 games behind Kevin, who is in first place. Tony is 5 games behind Kevin.
See, I'm pissed because I was catching up. Now I fell 2 back. I fell 2 more back.
Hey, listen, when you're good, kid.
We got a long season. I'm not going to get down on myself. I got a lot more picks to make. WrestleMania Backlash is coming up. Impact Rebellion is coming up.
Oh, come on. Not picking against me against...
Wait, is Impact Rebellion an actual pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's an actual pay-per-view. That's happening April 25th.
Oh, great.
All right, so we kind of touched on some WrestleMania and NXT with Dave, you know, in between busting his balls about Thunder Rosa. What did you guys like about NXT Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania the whole week?
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead, Kev.
I mean, NXT is just the brand. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. It's just so, like, the only match I don't think I watched, and I have no idea why, is Kushida and Pete Dunne. I did not see that match. I don't know how I missed it, but I watched everything else. And the biggest point to me, the biggest takeaway from that is how big of a star Raquel Gonzalez is going to be. And I think it was the right move. It was the time to do it. She has Amazon star potential, the likes where as much as people criticize someone like Nia Jax, I feel like Raquel Gonzalez could be that big presence on the main roster that, or even in still in NXT, that can be that mega star. And she just earned it. And it was absolutely an incredible match. MSK, I think winning is super, let's see, Tony. Engage with me. Tony, what are your thoughts on MSK winning the tag team titles?
Good for them. Didn't see it.
Oh, fair enough.
I only watched 2 matches from NXT. I only saw the women's title match, and I saw the
Walter
UK title match. Those are the only ones I really had time to watch today. Oh,
this goes back to the fact that there was so much wrestling this week. Absolutely. And not even so much wrestling, so much lengthy wrestling where we're going 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. And that's not including Power, not including Impact. So a Ring of Honor. So there was so much to watch. So I think MSK winning was the right move. Go with them. I thought they were going to go with them a little earlier than they did. But the fact that they're going with them now, love it. Love that. So those were the 2 big takeaways I'm sure there'll be more once we continue talking about it. Matt, what about you? What did you?
I enjoyed Walter and Tommaso Ciampa. I thought that was the NXT match of the two shows. I thought they told a great story from Go Walter smashing the table with his hand and then not being able to use it for the majority of the match, and Tommaso Ciampa channeling this this evil Blackheart, the person that he was before he got hurt and went away. So I really enjoyed that match. Raquel Gonzalez winning was really good. I like Pete Dunne and Kushida. The tag match was excellent. I thought Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly was a little long.
Oh, I thought it was great, though.
But they did a really great job, and I think that's a perfect way to send Adam Cole off. I won't be surprised if you see him on Raw or SmackDown this week.
Here's the thing. I don't – as great as Adam Cole is, I don't see him transitioning well to the main roster.
I mean, look, there's a ton of guys from NXT that don't. Ricochet isn't doing anything. He's floating around there. Aleister Black hasn't been on TV since October. But there's only so many times they could be in NXT, the title, right? Yeah. Like, what else? There's nothing else for Adam Cole to do in NXT, is there?
I mean, he could be the proverbial, I guess, staple or the bar raiser or the... God, what's God? I'm trying to find a comparable to Adam Cole, because here's the thing: we've never really had a developmental territory that's also been a third brand before. First of all, we never had a developmental territory like ever that's had a TV show like this. So, does Adam Cole? Oh, I know what Gargano would probably be the comparable, and he's on the same brand. Does Gargano never got brought up, and he's still tremendous?
Gargano got brought up for like 2 weeks.
Of course, I know that. But I think Adam Cole could be. See, now, why wouldn't you bring up Gargano? Oh, because he's got the way. So he's got that stable going for him.
Got the North American title, too.
Yeah. So I think Adam Cole could be that guy. And first of all, Johnny Gargano wanted to stay in the NXT. He was brought up and wanted to go back. I know, I think Ciampa was hurt at the same time. I'm not sure. So that could have. Scallywagged it, but if Adam Cole stays in NXT for his entire career, I think he'd be okay with that, because he could be that guy. He could be face of the brand.
What happens to Finny Finn now that he lost the title? Is he staying in NXT?
See, I could see him going back up.
That would make sense.
I think the WWE is in a really good place after WrestleMania. Look, we've done this. We're going on 10 years in November, and we always talk no part-timers, no bullshit, no this. I was doing research for WrestleMania last week, and I heard a crazy stat. This is the first WrestleMania since 1988 that did not feature Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, or Triple H. And then you could throw in, you want to throw in Cena, Brock, whatever. The only real part-timer was Shane. You know, you could make an argument for Shane, but this was a clean slate for them. Like, this was the WrestleMania that we've kind of been looking for, where they create new stars, right?
But did they?
I don't know if they did, but they've opened a lot of doors now.
Okay, Bianca, Ripley, 100%.
Right, and even with the shitty storylines that they've not been telling on Raw, they've given themselves a chance now to redeem themselves. Clearly, you could see there's still dog shit there, because I watched night two last night, like the last hour and a half, and like the shit with Bailey and the fucking Bellet, like why even bother?
Because they do it every year, man.
I know, but why?
There's chatter that Bailey Nikki might be a program they're gonna go.
I'll fucking stick my head in the fucking toilet.
You can look, but you can't,
dude,
touch.
Say what you want about the Bellas, and I'm telling you, they're certified. They're certified Hall of Famers. They deserved it.
Kevin,
Nikki and Brie did not have terrible matches once they got.
They cannot hang in the ring with this crop of women. Just let them go.
You don't know that. I don't know that.
Which one? Didn't one of the Bellas have a match with what's her nuts?
Liv Morgan?
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, one of them got beat up by Ronda Rousey, right?
Didn't
one of them
beat up, but had like a 15-minute match with her or some shit.
I'm telling you, they are more than capable of holding their own and having a match that makes sense for them. So it's not going to be a bells and whistles match. They could do both of them, and they both have completely different skill
sets. But I'm not asking that. I'm asking, why does that garbage need to be part of WrestleMania?
Matt, why does Kamala dancing on a table and William Regal going into seeing Kamala dancing on his table?
But that didn't happen last night. I'm talking about last night. I'm not talking about 20 years ago.
Well, if history is a guide, it happens.
It was unnecessary having Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil come out, and then Bayley come out and do that, and then the Bellas come out. It was stupid.
All right.
You know what? I'll agree with that, especially because WWE has an awful habit of doing stupidity, especially when WrestleMania is running long. Like, at that point, with all the nonsense and gaga in between matches, it's like, all right, can we just get to the fucking main event? I've been waiting for this thing. Why are we going to spend 5 minutes doing this nonsense? It was the same shit when Brodus Clay had his mama and all the fucking mamas came out. It's like, come on, man, this fucking show's 7 hours long already. Let's just get to the main event. We don't need this.
Oh, that's 100% a fair point. If you're talking about cutting down the length of the show, that's fine. But if you're talking about the actual content, let's not act like, listen, WrestleMania, what was it? Who was singing in the shower with freaking...
Kev, you're absolutely right to your point. But at that point in the night, it's like, all right, we've already had a very long week of wrestling. I just want to get to the fucking main event.
The Bolsheviks and freaking... That's always
the shower. Yeah, I remember. That was... what the fuck?
Who was the first host of the late night talk show? What the guy?
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen, yeah.
Tony, your Nikki Bella Ronda Rousey match took place at WWE Evolution.
How long was the match?
14 minutes and 7 seconds.
There you go. You got a 15-minute match out of fucking Nikki Bella, Nikki Knockers. You know what else is weird mentioning that match? Is it a thing now where, like, every other match we have to fucking turn the microphones up to actually hear what the wrestlers are saying? Like, this is for all the people that were bullied, and why don't you just stay down, and I own it. Come on, man. What happened to fucking emotion in the face? Why do we need to hear this shit, you know? It's just like look, a couple of matches, fine. It just seemed like every match they had to have people talking. I'm like, why? Just don't care, man.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, a lot, dude. A lot.
So NXT Stand and Deliver, obviously, across the board, it was a great show.
I agree. That Walter Ciampa match was fucking unreal. The story was amazing. The wrestling was amazing.
And we had a bunch of titles change. We talked Raquel Gonzalez beat Io Shirai. Karrion Kross beat Finn. And that all kicks off Tuesday night on NXT, now on Tuesday night. So that'll be pretty exciting. I think I did a thing on Twitter last night when Mania was over. I'll turn it over to you guys. Best match of WrestleMania.
Probably the main event of night two.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. Main event of the show. Unbelievable.
I think Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns is probably the best.
Nah, great story, great emotion. Watching Daniel Bryan lose his shit and with the heel tendencies, watching Edge lose his shit with the heel tendencies, the finish, or when they both had Roman Reigns in the lock at the same time. Dude, I was fucking almost jumping off the couch watching it. That was a fucking great match.
And if you want to give a close second just for the spot, probably Sheamus bro kicking Riddle while he was doing a moonsault. Just for the pure spot of it, is probably a moment that shouldn't go unnoticed. As much as I don't really want to talk about Riddle, that's probably a good moment.
So the three matches that people mentioned most before you chime in there, Tony, obviously that main event, the main event from night one, Sasha and Bianca, and then Rollins and Cesaro. A lot of people really liked that match,
that
too.
That was a fucking, that would probably be my number two. That was a great match. I like the Sheamus Riddle match. I liked Lashley and Claymore, except for the fucking distraction. Like, I didn't get it. Like, he's all focused on winning the title, and MVP just yells, "Hey," and he turns around. It's like, come on, man.
I also think that the women's tag title match from night two, not the gauntlet, but the title match, I think should get another look. If people kind of pass by it, should get another look, because I think that was a really good match.
overall, there were a few areas where it was kind of like, they could have tightened that up a little bit. But story-wise, I think they did a great job.
Yeah. To get another look from people, I think.
And you guys are, you were okay with Sasha Bianca?
100%. That's actually probably a match that I put top three, probably.
Here's one thing that I hope and pray they're going to work in with Bianca one day. And they're going to give them the fucking, the Sherry Martel treatment where they cut her fucking ponytail off. That's got to be coming down. That's got to be coming down at some point.
I agree.
Got to be.
I agree. It has to.
Fucking weapon, dude. That's going to be, if anything happens from this and Sasha Banks goes back to her fucking nasty tendencies, she's going to bitch and moan and go, that's not fucking hair. That's a weapon.
Tony, you're 100% right. It's too noticeable of an aspect of her gimmick to not be a focal point of a storyline at some point in terms of getting removed.
Has to.
So, yeah, and I agree with you 100%.
And how else, you know, that's a great way to get someone fucking mega heat.
So whether it's Sasha, whether it's who, no matter who it is.
Unless it's some other woman that comes down the pipe in a few years, you know?
Yeah, it could be. That's Tony, you're, oh God, that's
a great call.
And intelligent. It's
why I'm here.
It's, I don't want to say this sounding demeaning. It's low hanging fruit, but it's so genius in terms of how you could either promote somebody new or bring somebody back or just develop a storyline with Bianca. And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm surprised they haven't done it already.
Because they're going to let her go with it because it's her gimmick. And I think you save something like that for something big, something epic. And it's going to be that one day where Bianca's like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of fucking wearing this thing on my head.
That's true. And at the end of the day, you know, like everything else in wrestling, like the Fiend gets spurned and now he's not, or Randy Orton gets burned and now he's not. They could always bring it back to make it clutch again.
Kev, I pose this question to you. Who is the low-key MVP of the entire WrestleMania weekend? And I pose it to you for a reason. You should know the answer to this.
I know the answer.
You do know the answer, Kev.
Are we
including NXT?
No. WrestleMania, the two nights.
Oh, God.
Low-key MVP deserves so much more credit than it's going to be attributed.
It's a KJG guy.
100%.
God, holy crap. Apollo?
Oh.
No, Matt, it's the Miz. No. It's the Miz.
Oh, no. First of all, it's Bad Bunny.
No. It's the Miz. Because the Miz could have shit all over that skinny little fucker, and he didn't. He made him look like a fucking bazillion dollars. The bumps, the attitude, the crowd work. Every single thing the Miz did, I was like, that's why this motherfucker's a star. And that's why it's a shame he only held the belt for a week last month. Fucking shame.
Oh.
That dude is aces. He's always a company man. Vince McMahon should be paying him fucking five times as much as he's getting paid.
He probably is getting paid very, very well.
Oh, you saw the picture of him in front of his house for the fucking show, Miz and Mrs. Motherfucker is getting paid.
And yo, but that's not this. You know what? That's a match that should be right up there, too. Let's not discount that match. Oh, come on.
I think the match wasn't, it wasn't bad, but I don't think it took the, you know, the story between Sasha and Bianca was great, and the triple threat story was fucking amazing. You know, you might be able to slide it into like a top five.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because there was a story there, and the Bad Bunny was super involved since the Rumble, so.
Yo, how is it that they, one of the best storytelling matches at WrestleMania involved Bad Bunny?
Because I think that's the, so, we kind of touched on this last week, Kevin. Like, I think that's the problem with WWE. They pick like five stories, and they put all their eggs in the basket, and then you take like, you know, even Dave said it, like Asuka, Rhea Ripley should have been so much more than it was, and people were just kind of like checked out. And it's not even like, oh, it was a long show, because they split WrestleMania up into two nights. Like, that's your main feature women's match, and it's between two hell of women that can really work. And like, you would have thought there would have been more meat on the bone to it, but it was just like, Rhea's here and she wants the title.
And you know what, you just basically said what I was going to say, Tony. There's got to be more to a story than just a call up and I'm here for your belt. Like, there's got to be more than that.
Yeah. And, And the other thing that surprised me is usually the big call up is after Mania. So they really fucking rushed it. I mean, take a look at what they did on NXT with like the build to Raquel and Io Shirai. Raquel beats Io Shirai in War Games. That's the finish of the match. Yeah. So right away, right there, Raquel's coming out party and she's got a victory over the champ. Now you build on that. It's like, holy shit. Can she beat her in a one-on-one? Does she have the chops? Has she been doing this long enough? Is she talented enough? And you know what? The match with Ripley and Asuka, not taken away from the NXT women's match, because that was a good match too. That match was a lot better. It was crisper. I thought it was a lot more like tight. You know what I'm saying? A little bit slop Raquel, but she's young. She's young in the business. She'll get there. But you've got the bigger match with absolutely no story. Who gives a shit? I give more of a shit about Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez's coming out party. I don't know.
No, I'm with, and I'm hoping, you know, we're kind of every year after WrestleMania we get a clean slate now. Bobby Lashley, he retained. Roman Reigns, he retained. You know, where what's the plan for Roman, for him to run through to the WWE and then wait till next year, The Rock in Dallas?
See, here's the thing, though, that I'll disagree with you slightly on, is that after WrestleMania, we don't get that clean slate as much as we used to.
No, we should, though. You would...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tony.
You would hope at this point, because it seemed like a lot of... Like, you know... They fucking announced it, WrestleMania Backlash. So you know we're going to get some shit or other with Daniel Bryan and Edge and Roman Reigns again. That's got to be in the works. Yeah, where are they going to pivot Roman Reigns to for that month? Is it going to be a match where the winner gets another title shot? Like, something's going to happen there. But the one that kills me, look, I don't even give a fuck like about the Fiend storyline so much, but it's like you build up, Randy Orton kills the fucking guy, and then he comes back. And then he fucking loses because Alexa Bliss is fucking Papa Shangoing out of her head. So it's like, is it done with Randy Orton? Is it moving to shit between The Fiend and Alexa now? Like, WrestleMania is supposed to be the end, and in a lot of cases, the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, for, you know, Bret Hart having his alliance with, you know, with Bad News Brown, and they were buddies, and then Bad News Brown turns on him. All right, WrestleMania was the end. Bad News Brown kicked everybody's ass. Now we got a beginning. He's going to feud with fucking Bret Hart. It's always like the end and a beginning. Always. Yeah, I have no fucking idea where they're going.
And I agree with you 100%. But here's the thing that I didn't even realize until like 2 days ago, that Backlash is like supposed to be like a post-WrestleMania thing where maybe things do tie over. And I haven't gone back to look at the cards or anything to see what Backlash cards were like after the WrestleManias. So Backlash in itself is supposed to be like maybe the last step to continue.
It is, but it shouldn't be. But
no, I agree.
Like WrestleMania 2000, Backlash was The Rock and Triple H, where The Rock won the title. Why couldn't you fucking do that at Mania?
Yeah, I agree. 100%, Tony.
Give it to the Rock and let Hunter be the chaser. You know, you get rid of all the McMahon bullshit and it's a fresh start. Now The Rock is the champ.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
Chris Benoit was the same shit going to Backlash after he won the title.
WrestleMania should be the Backlash.
Like, yes, 100%.
It should be the Backlash of that entire wrestling calendar year.
100%. Yeah. But they don't do that, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, agreed.
Unfortunate.
Well, Backlash takes place Sunday, May 16th on the Peacock. What did you guys think of Mania overall, if you had to give it a grade?
God, very good. That's my grade. Very good, Matt. Very good is the grade. No, I'd say, oh God, it's hard to not give it a 10, to be honest with you.
I'm hemming and hawing on a B+, A-. I might push it to A- overall.
Oh, if we're going letter grade, A.
A couple things just hold me back, like the Braun Strowman thing. I mean, it was pretty innovative, but the whole thing with Shane, I'm fucking done with it. Damn, like it. We're fighting because you're stupid. It's like, eh.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that, Tony.
Although, the fucking return of the fucking dick grabber, that's a plus.
Who's the dick grabber?
Dabo Kane. He came out and he helped fucking Yoohoo Nation win. As soon as he came on the screen, I'm like, yo, dick grabber's back.
What is it? Commodore. 64. Commodore or something?
Yeah, Commodore 64. It was Dabo Kane, wasn't it?
Yeah, but his name is like Commodore.
Yeah, his name is, let's see, I have it right here. He will be known as Oh fuck,
Aziz,
where did it go?
I think Commodore Aziz.
Yeah, Commodore Aziz.
So he's not Double Kane anymore?
No, he's a Commodore.
No, he's Commodore.
Oh, does that mean he's going to sing? Lady!
Let me ask you guys. I don't watch a ton of the WWE, obviously, but I did catch a bit of WrestleMania.
Neither do I.
Okay, so they showed all these video packages setting up this Nigerian drum fight.
Yes.
Okay. Right? And I don't... I'm just going to come out and say it, okay? In one promo, Apollo Crews is talking like me. And then the next promo, he's got this fucking dumb accent.
Because he discovered his Nigerian roots, that's why.
Okay, that's what happened? I don't know. I'm like, he's talking regular, and then he's talking like this guy. And I can't do an accent because I'm going to sound Jamaican. I'm not good at accents. He's doing whatever accent he's doing.
Nigerian.
All right, I don't know what Nigerian... I'm sorry, I haven't been around Nigerians. I don't know their accents.
Watch yourself some Great Power Udi stuff. You'll learn Nigerian.
You know what? I'm good, thanks. Super happy for Apollo Crews to win the IC title. Even, you know, he had the help of the Dick Grabber, so that was cool. I guess he's going to have his own little, you know, Truth Commission 2021, but I don't know what.
The one thing I didn't understand was, do you remember they had that symphony match on Raw a few years ago? It was like Cesaro was involved, I think Elias, Braun Strowman, where they had all these fucking musical instruments at ringside, like the gong was there, and they had drums. They had like guitars and the big bass and all that other shit. Yes, please. It was the symphony match. And I know.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Symphony of Destruction match, Braun Strowman and Elias versus Nakamura and Cesaro.
There you go.
There's also one Jeff Hardy versus Elias.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I got a good memory, folks.
Yeah, how do you remember that? How do you remember a symphony of destruction?
Because I remember somebody getting thrown into the gong or somebody got really hurt. I want to say it was Nakamura got hurt. I don't remember specifically, but something fucking really screwed up happened.
Oh, we got a big drum. We got a tuba. We got one of those douchey jazz basses, the stand-up basses.
Yep.
Look, Cesaro's going to try and hit Braun. Nope. Braun Strowman puts the drum right through Cesaro and then punches him to the ground. This is... bad. Where's Nakamura? Oh, Sami Zayn hit Braun Strowman with a ukulele.
Oof.
Oh boy, he's got a ukulele. Is that what it's called? Ukulele.
Ukulele. Yep. It's a.
This is This is like one of the last SmackDowns before the pandemic. This was February 21st, 2000.
There was a crowd for that.
Yep. Oh yeah. Look, fucking Cesaro's playing the cowbell.
Oh, I need more cowbell.
Oh, but he missed Elias.
I got a fever, and the only cure.
Now Elias smacks him with the cowbell. Oh, God. Oh. There was a giant gong at ringside too, Tony, so let me see.
They reused it for this match, the Nigerian drum match.
Yeah, let's see when that... Oh, there's a table. Elias goes through the table. He almost missed it. Yeah, this is a thing. God bless you, Tony, for remembering...
No, God has not blessed me with memories of this.
Man, you went from the Backlash 2000 main event to Symphony of Destruction match.
Yeah.
You are a wild. Oh, Braun Strowman just did that thing where he makes the train sound, and Cesaro flew into an electric guitar.
All right, so I understand the train sound. At least it makes sense. But what the fuck is with Matt Riddle with the birds?
Because he's for the birds.
Who the fuck knows?
Hey, what'd you think of RVD giving out rolling papers to Great Khali and Matt Riddle?
That's his thing, right?
Well, Matt Riddle's been doing that for a couple of weeks now, right? Or no?
What, rolling papers?
Yeah, I think he's been doing that.
What is this, papers?
I could be wrong.
Like walking papers?
Yeah, wrong.
Who's getting fired, pal? Ooh, you think there's going to be any bloodletting after Mania this year?
You mean future endeavors?
Yes, choppy, choppy roster.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Does this mean we're going to get a fucking lethal lottery fucking drafts again? It's about time for a superstar shakeup, goddammit.
Nah, they just did that back in October, no?
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Or October of last year.
Fox is happy. Who gives a shit?
I don't know.
It looks like we're getting a rematch for the women's title tonight.
Any surprises yet? Pop up? Any debuts?
Bobby Lashley defended his title against Matt Riddle in a non-title match.
Were there any title defenses after WrestleMania this year, like Big Show last year?
Whoa. No, no. Oh. It looks like the Viking Raiders are back.
And they beat
Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, so I guess they're still a team.
Good, because they're fucking losers.
See, Dave LaGreca hit on something so poignant that I think we should comment on. Breaking up the Hurt Business is the worst thing ever. And really, God, that was such a fucking overstable, such a great group.
Maybe it just felt like Lashley and MVP was the way to go, kind of like Paul Heyman and Roman on SmackDown. I don't know. I agree 100%. I think it was a mistake, but maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they need their Heyman Roman Reigns for Raw. You know, big fucking nasty bastard with the fucking brains behind him.
Wait, so you think that MVP and Bobby Lashley is the equivalent of Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns?
That's the only logical explanation.
But what about, they also have Jey Uso. So why couldn't Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander be Jey Uso?
Because Lashley is more of a fucking wrecking machine than Roman is, because Roman's full of shit.
That's a tough call.
It's the only call I can think of. I mean,
I just think that they don't have, I just don't think they like, to me, it's just that they just don't want Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin to succeed, as sad as that sounds. Why wouldn't you keep them together? Unless they have bigger plans for Lashley and they think that he could be better without them. I just don't understand it.
I mean, that's got to be it. I don't get it either, but it's got to be that kind of explanation, no?
The Hurt Business was the best thing that WWE had on Raw.
Matt, you were just going to speak. Yeah, that's something.
We got Rhea Ripley, Asuka tonight is happening. And we got Adnan Virk. He's the new Raw commentary guy.
Yep, Canadian boy.
I know there's been a lot of rumors about Becky Lynch coming back.
Yeah, she was trolling again.
And I know that there was the president of the WWE is on a Colin Cowherd podcast last week, and he said Becky Jackson and Ronda will be back sooner than later.
Uh-oh.
So you never know. That could be happening tonight. I'll keep my eyes on these Raw results as our show progresses.
Oh, boy.
How do you feel about Vlad getting his Superfan Award?
That was out of left field, no? That's pretty wild. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, how could you be upset about it?
Exactly. He's going to get his own documentary and everything. That's pretty awesome.
Well, they were supposed to do that last year with that guy from New York as well, weren't they? Didn't they interview that little Italian guy, whatever his name is, from New York? The guy that's always with Vlad?
Brock Lesnar guy?
No, you got to remember who it is. Like,
is he the guy with the long black hair?
No.
Is that the guy that someone posted a photo of him and who I think you're talking about? But to me, the super fans go Vlad, tie-dye guy, Cactus Jack guy. And then I guess in a distant fourth is Brock Lesnar guy.
Which one's Brock Lesnar guy?
He's the guy that he's recent, so you probably wouldn't. He just like really, he just got like a, he's always in the front row at shows. But to me, it's Vlad, tie-dye guy, Cactus Jack guy. And Cactus Jack guy might be a name that I just made up, but I think that he's always there. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Tie-dye guy's not hat guy.
What?
Tie-dye guy's not hat guy. You're talking about somebody else.
Tie-dye guy is different than hat guy, I think. Okay. Tie-dye guy is a great, he's been there forever for ECW and WWE. See, a lot of the super fans are mostly the ECW guys that I mean, Vlad is different. Vlad is like, I was like a kid seeing Vlad at shows.
Right. And Vlad was always next to the small dude with the long black hair.
Maybe that's the guy I'm thinking of. What the hell's his name?
I wonder if Vlad's presence was just like that big that we didn't notice him. The other guy?
But Cactus Jack guy, ECW, tie-dye guy. So the Hawaiian shirt guy that Tony's talking about.
I have no idea who tie-dye guy is.
You have no idea who tie-dye? I'm going to send you a picture.
Oh, no, you know what? I do. We met him outside of Dave LaGreca's 10th anniversary.
Yep.
Gotcha.
That's tie-dye guy.
Frank the Clown. Whatever happened to that fucking guy?
Adam Lucidi hates Frank the Clown. All right. So,
Jesus, I don't know who the fuck.
No, it's okay, boys.
No, I'm gonna because I found a picture.
Oh, is this him? Sign guy? This has got to be him. Maybe. No, it doesn't look like him.
I met tie-dye guy in the ticket booth window of a show. I can't remember what show it was.
I just sent you guys a picture of Vlad and the small Italian guy I think you're talking about.
Yeah, he's got he looks like Petey Williams. Oh no, he does not.
Yeah, that fucking guy.
Yeah, that guy, right?
He does not.
They had something on him like last year and they were going to do something with him before the pandemic or some nonsense.
Yeah, he does not.
What the fuck is his name? That's the guy I was talking about.
I don't remember this guy at all.
The little guy next to Vlad?
Yeah, don't remember him at all.
Really?
Nope.
He's all over old WWF stuff, and he's always with Vlad.
Well, I think Vlad's presence is so overwhelming.
You can watch it on the Facebook. This is the guy we're talking about right there.
Yeah, I don't remember that guy.
Yeah.
And Vlad's been around for, dude, I'm not kidding, at least 35 years.
Oh, no. Vlad, I remember wearing that Roddy Piper shirt. Like at every show, or he's in some sort of like tank top or something.
Before Vlad,
wasn't he in a Roddy Piper shirt, Tony?
He was involved with Roddy Piper. I remember that. I do remember him being in a Piper shirt at some point, but he was at the Garden when Piper did a live Piper's Pit with Orndorff and Heenan, and they were getting into it. It was just before Piper retired. Piper was already turning face. And Orndorff had already turned on Hogan and was back with Heenan. And they were like, you know, if you had to find a tag team partner, you wouldn't be able to find anybody. So they had this whole back and forth. So they come up, Orndorff and Heenan came up with the fact that they could get Handsome Harley Race, the King of Pro Wrestling, to be his partner.
Oh, yeah.
So Roddy turns to the crowd and sees Vlad in the front row and calls him up to the ring. And he comes up on the apron, on the ropes. And Heenan's making fun of him and everybody's like, you know, cheering. And he goes, you know, he came up with somebody and I don't really know if I agree with it, but if you were me and you had to pick somebody to be your partner, who would it be? And he holds the mic to him and Vlad just yells, Hulk Hogan! And the fucking place goes nuts and Piper throws the mic down and bails out of the ring and Orndorff does his fucking pissed off kick in the ropes and shit and Heenan throws his towel and all that stuff. Great stuff.
I found a list on WWE.com. 10 most famous fans in sports entertainment history. Brock Lesnar guy is on there. He's just a white dude who's always wearing like those affliction
shirts,
like weird t-shirts.
Matt,
he's
on
there.
On this list?
Straw hat guy. Hat guy from ECW.
Okay.
Angry Miz girl.
Okay.
She had one moment. She shouldn't be on that list.
There's the really exciting fan. He's like a fat kid with like a bowl cut.
That's from Nitro, right?
Yeah. Cactus Jack guy, Kevin, who you're talking about, also referred to as Faith No More guy.
Yes, Jim Martin, Faith No More guy.
I had no idea that's who
because
he
looks like the drummer.
Like Jim Martin from Faith No More.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
Tie dye guy who always dresses like the Hulkster. He kind of looks like, you know, he's always got the Hulkster shit on. Sign guy. I guess
that's the guy I'm looking at here. Rick Achenberger.
Yes.
I don't know who he was either.
I don't know who that is. The shocked Undertaker guy.
That's the black guy.
Yeah. It's still real.
With
still,
the glasses? That's a great pull.
It's still real to me, damn it, guy.
Oh, that fucking
that made a WWE.com list?
Yes.
Dude, that guy was on Tosh.0. He had a web redemption for that fucking thing.
Yeah, it says it right here. He got to live out his dream and step in the ring with Sergeant Slaughter, DiBiase, and Coco Beware. Bobby Melick. Vlad.
He's not number one?
It's not like a top 10 list.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Wait, they didn't put the girl that was crying over Macho Man and Liz getting back together? You would have figured that would have been a gimme.
At WrestleMania 7?
Yeah, this was done in 2015 by The Fink.
Well, WrestleMania 7 happened before that.
So. I know, I'm just telling you. Published June
4th, 2015. God damn.
Super fans.
Yeah, they were showing that guy that's with Vlad at some pizzeria in Brooklyn, and he was talking about being a fan and stuff.
Charlotte Flair cut a promo.
Great.
Is
she still pregnant, or they don't know?
No, she's not pregnant anymore.
Wait, what?
She was never pregnant.
That was one of the reasons why she was being kept off of Mania. One of the WWE doctors, when she went for a physical, said, "You're pregnant," and it turns out she wasn't.
Like in like a nothing ever happened way or in like a scary
scenario? No. She wasn't pregnant, but some test that they were running for something else came back positive for whatever it was, and they said that's an indication that you're pregnant. And then like
I thought she had COVID.
You know, it turns out she wasn't pregnant. They had already pulled her at that point, and then she wound up with COVID anyway.
Oh, all right. So if you don't get a baby, you get COVID. So,
right. So. And your fiance husband gets released or they let him go home.
Makes sense.
That fucking guy said he was making $3 million a year. Do you believe that shit?
Andrade?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
$3 million a year for Andrade.
Maybe not WWE, but he's probably making $3 million a year some way.
That's crazy.
I mean, if he signed to, he said his WWE contract was $3 million a year, so.
Oh, well, then there you go.
There you go. Because you have to remember, pre-pandemic, he was, you know, elsewhere in CMLL, and he wasn't, you know, you send him to Mexico for shows.
Now, did he say $3 million a year, or did he say $3 million for his contract?
He said $3 million a year.
Yeah, it was $3 million a year.
Right. I mean, I'll believe it.
Good for him. Outside of the WWE world, we got word that there will be a AEW's first ever Blood and Guts match will take place May 5th with the Pinnacle against the Inner Circle.
They rushed that. They rushed that. That should not be happening until like fucking September, October. Should not be happening now. I'm very surprised that they're doing that. If they're doing that just to get it in, that's a big mistake.
This is the world we live in now. Just get the big money match as soon as you can to boost numbers. Tony, I agree with you.
And they're giving this away on TV, aren't they?
Yes.
Why? That's your fucking 200,000 by pay-per-view right there.
Unless
five in a cage.
Unless the $200,000 pay-per-view is Jericho MJF one-on-one.
Headlined by Kenny Omega against Kota Ibushi.
Something like that, though. Fucking Blood and Guts. You got to put that on pay-per-view. You got to build to that shit, man.
I agree with you.
Wow. Tony Khan don't want to make money? Come on, bro. I know you got a lot. Don't you want more?
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Does there need to be, like, that weird, like, each guy from their stable wrestles each other and to lead up to this? I mean, clearly we've reached the point where it's at a boiling point already after when the Inner Circle returned and they bloodied up Dax and then they beat up Jericho last week.
They rushed that too, man. They could have took a week off of that. They could have fucking had a slow burn, a little back and forth ski, maybe there's a tag match. Maybe we get fucking Proud and Powerful against the FTR. Maybe there's some shenanigans. Maybe there's a pull apart. Do that you could stretch it out for a month or two.
I mean, you have three weeks until this, and I thought, and don't quote me on this, I thought I saw somewhere that they can go full capacity now in Jacksonville.
But still, man, do that on a pay-per-view.
How could you go full capacity in Jacksonville and not go full capacity in Tampa?
No, you can. You can. It's by choice.
Yeah, it's by municipality or by choice of what you want to actually do. Yeah. But what, like, is this going to be like SummerSlam like 97 where each person from each group is going to have a match? Like, you're going to have like British Bulldog versus Ken Shamrock in a dog food eating match. You're going to have Owen Hart and Stone Cold for, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the way they used to run War Games. You'd have builds for like almost a year, and then that was the big blow off. Get everybody in the cage, you know?
Okay. I thought we were talking about they're each going to have individual matches at some point with each other.
They should. It would make more sense, right?
I mean, dude, go. This is like a very
like hit me now, hit me hard, like culture in terms of like give me something to watch right now. It's very what have you done for me lately? So I don't like it, but I mean, if they're going to do it, rock and roll, baby.
I don't know.
No, Tony, fundamentally, I'm with you.
Not the route I would have gone, but you know, it's their company.
Look, maybe I don't know. Now I know last year, let's think about this from a business standpoint. They sold what Double or Nothing was going to be at the MGM in Las Vegas, right? And then the pandemic happened, and I'm pretty sure they said if you had tickets for 2021, you can use them, or if you had tickets for 2020, you can redeem them in 2021. They might not have the space to set up a second ring at a pay-per-view in May, the end of May. So maybe this is a serviceable to lead to, like Kevin said, Jericho, MJF. You know, loser leaves town. Jericho goes on tour with Fozzy. He's out for like 6 months.
You'd make MJF go over at the end of that feud?
Well, you're not going to leave Jericho there. Look, I think we're all in agreement. I think the Inner Circle has run its course, right?
I don't agree with that.
No, I tend to agree with it, though. I tend to agree.
I'm not going to hate on anybody that does agree with it, but...
I hope you don't hate on me, bro.
Oh, I love you.
The thing is, like, Proud and Powerful really... All right, great. They hung out with Jericho for a year. Let them fucking move on, dude.
Like, to me, like, this is kind of like, because they just had this big reunion, right? So they just finally, like, dissolved or, you know, got rid of all of their negativity. So now they're all together again. So if that's the case, have the Horsemen ever really, truly run their course in their mainstay? This is still pretty new. So I think that the Inner Circle could be around, especially in this carnation. I don't think there's anyone else that should be involved unless it's for a storyline purpose. But this version, these five guys, or these six guys?
It's five.
Here's a thought. They have this Blood and Guts. They have this match. And Inner Circle goes away at this point. You want to bring them back in a year? Bring them back in a year. Say we're getting back together out of necessity. Keep those guys off of TV for a few weeks. Let the Elite or whatever they're called, the Pinnacle. Let them have their fucking run. Let them go after the tag belts. Let them beat the Bucks. You know, let them go after TNT championships. Let MJF step up. Maybe he gets a match with Kenny Omega. Who knows?
Well, just because the Pinnacle can succeed doesn't mean that you have to disassemble the Inner Circle. And I wanted to bring this up with Dave, but wrestling seems to be very stable heavy now. It seems to be that way in every single company that you can actually look at. Stable seem to be the way that people are going now. And if that's the case, then have Inner Circle, have Pinnacle, you know, have Death Triangle, have, you know, Dark Order, have, you know, Matt Hardy's group, have, and then WWE was the same until they just broke up the Hurt Business. You had Hurt Business, you had NXT, you had Legado Fantasma, like, you had it. So it's stable seem to be the way that the wrestling business is trending right now.
Yeah, and until you said it, I completely forgot that Matt Hardy had a group now. Holy Christ.
Dude, it's everywhere. It's New Japan. Matt, I'm sure you could say
New Japan, it's been in their culture for a long time. They've had these stables.
Right, and you look at it from a booking standpoint, it works great for them.
Yeah. It's wrestling. It seems to be like this. So if you don't approve of, I've seen the memes, I've seen the gifs of everything, you know, stables, factions, everyone has well, you know what? If that's the way the business is trending, then you know what? Deal with it or get off the freaking ship. Like, it seems to be a stable, heavy business.
Look, it's an extra layer to the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have guys that represent the Inner Circle. So no matter, you know, if they're
Tony laughed at the way I said because I'm literally unsipping a beverage while I went that way.
You know, why is the Proud and Powerful going to wrestle Evil Uno and Stu Grayson? You know, is it just for a contendership shot, or is there more to it? Is it which stable is better? battle who stands
I love it.
Who stands me, you know taller so on the hill.
Knowing is half the battle, Kevin.
Yes, that's right.
You know, it's,
Matt, like, when I stumble, at least Matt is always there to make.
That's it. That's what I do. Mike Tyson was on Dynamite 2 Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's going to be there this Wednesday night. The first AEW Dynamite running unopposed.
Love Mike Tyson. He's no Shaq.
That is true.
He's no Shaq.
Oh, his name is Mike Tyson.
You'll see the Young Bucks defend their tag titles against Rey Fénix and Pac of the Death Triangle this week. Red Velvet, Jade Cargill, and Anthony Ogogo makes his AEW Dynamite debut.
Let's go, go, Ogogo.
All right.
Something maybe for those real nerdy wrestling fans like myself, Konosuke Takeshita.
From DDT,
Takeshita?
Right?
Yes, from DDT made his debut in AEW Dark Elevation tonight. In 2013, he almost won Rookie of the Year in Japan.
Wait, 2013?
Yeah.
He didn't win.
He almost won.
But he didn't win.
You know who he lost to?
The fucking winner?
He lost to Yo.
Yo!
But
I
he was
that fucker's back. I heard they're the tag champs again.
Yeah, he was also in high school when this was happening, so that's pretty crazy town, USA. Yeah, your fucking boys won the fucking IWGP Junior Tag Titles again for the fucking 500th time. I don't understand why. And your fuck boy lost his title, so enjoy that.
Was there a lot of people that thought that that was Kota Ibushi? On AEW on that house show, did you guys see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, a lot of people were thinking that was Kota Ibushi that was going to be with, I think it was Omega, the Bucks, who were wearing the same like jackets as Seth Rollins did. Did you guys see that?
No.
Good talk, boys.
Good talk indeed.
Rapungi bungi.
Rapungi bungi bungi.
Otunga bunga.
Otunga bunga bunga bunga.
Impact also moved to Thursday night last week. So Kevin, how was your first Thursday night of tweeting Impact?
It was tough because it was main. It was like really like going right back with, I was trying to avoid spoilers for NXT. So I curtailed it like in the hour mark. And it always seems that, you know, the devils are always on when Impact was on, so I try to do my best. It's just great. I didn't watch Hardcore Justice, all of it. I watched the first couple matches, and you had Falaba, TJP versus Ace Austin and Fulton, and you had Josh Alexander. Petey Williams came back and was Josh Alexander's partner in that triple threat tag team match, which is great. Unfortunately, our boy Fala lost, and and so that was it. Again, Impact is great. I tweeted it, but it was tough because I just couldn't avoid the spoilers, so I had to bail.
I know Jazz lost her career match against Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, all right.
And then I know it looks like we're gonna get Deonna Purrazzo against Tenille at Rebellion.
That's gonna be the big match. That's the money match. That's what it should be.
Also, it looks like Kevin's gonna have to pick.
Oh boy!
Between his boys at Rebellion.
Oh boy!
Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, inked baby.
Oh boy, this is gonna be tough. I mean, it's not gonna be that tough.
Woo woo woo!
You know it.
Do you know it?
Can I give a quick aside? Yes. On Falaba?
Please, I gotta pee really fast. So aside, you will.
Tony, that's aside, brother.
You're wearing your WrestlePro hoodie.
Yeah, your Bethelpo, is that how you say it?
See, just look.
I don't care. I was going to get up, but you know what? If you're going to bust my balls when I flub my words, I'm going to bust your balls when you do yours, you dick.
You dick. Go grab your dick, you dick.
I am.
All right, Tony, what was your question?
I saw that your boy Falaba came back with some hardware from his trip to Alaska.
I did not see that.
WrestlePro Alaska champion, the great.
I thought you meant like he was hurt or something like that. No, yeah, he's the frontier, the last frontier champion.
So is that a new thing? Was there a tournament?
That's a brand. It was a 6 or 8-way ladder match.
Oh, Jesus.
I think, and follow one. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me because I didn't watch it. But Tony, here's some breaking news. I will be going to Alaska.
What?
In August.
What?
Yep. For the Great Alaskan Bash.
What?
Yep.
Whoa, Kev. The world is your oyster now that you're vaccinated. I love it.
I'm going, baby. It's it. It's they're pulling out all the stops, and of course, always take a chance to plug WrestlePro Alaska. Big time Nova's gonna be there. Meanie's gonna be there. Luke Hawks is gonna be there.
Huge F in arms.
Hawkins, Cardona, Smart Mark. They're bringing out all the stops, and I will be there. So I'm excited to go to Alaska, baby.
That's fucking awesome. Now, you're not going to stay in a hotel room like you did in Portugal. You're going to fucking get out and about, right?
That's a very good question. I don't know.
Oh, come on, Kev.
Are you going to Alaska?
Dude, yeah.
Wow.
It's like 5 hours from one town to another sometimes. So you got to, I got to pick my things wisely.
I always pick my things wisely.
That's all right. Especially, you do, Tony. You do.
Especially when they itch. Oh, boy.
Looks like Rhea Ripley and Asuka ended in a double DQ when Charlotte attacked both of them.
Oh,
Charlotte's back. It's Raw, Tony. Relax. It's not a big deal.
When are you going to Alaska?
August 24th.
Wow. Are you going to miss the podcast?
Don't know. We could probably do it.
From Alaska?
I mean, if we could work it out, we'll do it.
The fucking internet sucks in Utah. How do you think it's going to be in Alaska?
Utah sucks in West Orange.
Dude, I haven't dropped out once tonight.
What else we got? Ring of Honor. Violence Unlimited will make their debut on the weekend of April 24th. They will face LFI, Rush, Kenny King, and Bestia del Ring. And six-man action. This week is their 500th episode, Lethal versus Gresham, Briscoe versus Briscoe.
Oh. Wait, what? What was that?
Lethal against Gresham for the pure title, and Mark Briscoe against Jay Briscoe.
That's insane.
For the 500th Ring of Honor episode. This week was awesome. Delirious Rocky Romero was great, and Lethal and Gresham faced Bandido and Flamita, and that son of a bitch Flamita, he hasn't changed his tune since the 19th anniversary show, and he beat up Bandita, and he walked out. So we have that. In the New Japan world, the New Japan USA Cup is happening. Brody King beat Chris Dickinson. Hikuleo defeated Fred Rossier. Leo Rush beat Clark Connors. And Filthy Tom beat... Who did Filthy Tom beat? Ren Narita. So they all move on. This is your final four for the New Japan Strong Championship title. Leo Rush, Brody King, Tom Lawler, Hikuleo. And the semifinals take place this Friday.
I'm sorry, Leo Rush.
Dark Side of the Ring will premiere Thursday, May 6th.
Yep.
Here's the six topics they're covering this year.
All right. What's the first one?
I got six right here for season 3. Okay. All right. These may not be in order. Season three will feature 14 episodes in total. The Brian Pillman episode will be the first one.
Nice.
All right. The other five that have been confirmed. Nick Gage.
Wow.
Collision in Korea.
Ooh.
The Ultimate Warrior. Grizzly Smith. Which is going to be a rough watch.
Yeah.
And Dynamite Kid.
That one's not going to be so easy either.
None of them, other than...
You put a fucking gun in me mouth.
Pillman will probably be the most intriguing one. And we already kind of know about Pillman, right?
Yeah, but things I've heard is that
Pillman Jr. doesn't exactly have a great relationship with his mother either. So who knows what we're going to hear about what was going on in the house.
Well, we've had Pillman Jr. on. He said that he never mentioned anything like that.
No, but he said it in other interviews.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Collision in Korea one.
Me too. 100%.
Yeah, you know what? That's such an under the radar, like, controversial thing that there's so many different aspects of it, like relationships with other countries that are involved.
I actually watched a YouTube video about it last week, actually.
Oh,
Eric Bischoff has talked about it before. Scott Norton had a fucking really bad run in.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. It's in his book. He tells a great story.
And he was the New Japan champion at that point.
Tony.
Yo.
You brought up New Japan. Thoughts on the new belt?
I like it. I like it too. I like it a lot. I think the rivets on the side, I don't know why they're curved. They seem out of line to me. But there's definitely history behind it. Like, I've read up on it. The reason why it's in that shape is because they were combining the first belt, which had the elongated globe, and the second belt, which looked like the crown on top.
See, I hated the crown belt. I hated that crown belt.
But the only thing they kept was like the top portion, and then the bottom, now it looks more like a shield. So, and they're always good with that. And you know what? Surprisingly, you don't think about it much, but WWE, before they started doing the logo belts, would actually put some thought into their championships. Now, I think we talked about it on the show before, but on the Undisputed belt, the one that Brock Lesnar, Hulk Hogan, Triple H had, all the way up to John Cena, I think, because JBL held it too. They call that the legacy belt because if you look at the side plates, it actually has the McMahon crest on them.
Ooh.
It has like the family motto and everything. Yeah. So like WWE will put effort. Well, they used to put effort into the title belts around that time. So it doesn't surprise me at all that a company like New Japan would want to keep some of the heritage of the championship. Now, All Japan actually has done the same thing when they consolidated the Triple Crown Championship into one belt. They used the main plate for one, and then the two side plates, like the immediate ones, were the shape of the other titles. So the main one, it was one of the NWAs. It has like the shape like from the belt that Luthez used to wear. But then the other two immediate side plates are also shaped after the other championships, like the national championship and
right.
the third one. So it's kind of cool. It's history. Yeah. I don't know why people, I mean, it's kind of funny. People are like, oh, it's the Divas title, or like it's the Cody Rhodes neck tattoo and all this other shit. But
whatever. I'm with you.
Just for the record,
if it just said NJPW, people would shit on it. They'd be like, oh, it's the fucking logo belt too, you know, so whatever.
Just for the record, Collision in Korea, Scott Norton was not the end.
Oh, he wasn't.
No, he didn't win that title till 2001.
Wait, that much later?
Oh, yeah.
I think he was NWO Japan at that point, I think.
I remember him having that title on some fucking... Are you sure he wasn't champion when they had their...
He was IWGP champion when he was in the NWO.
The first time he won it was September 23rd, 1998, when he beat Yuji Nagata.
There you go.
Yeah, he was on a WCW, like...
Nitro. Okay.
Yeah, he wore that belt.
Yeah, but wasn't he on a pay-per-view with that belt as well?
He had it for 4 months before he lost it to Muda, and then he won it again in March of 2001. But he may have showed up, but he was not. 95 is when Collision in Korea happened, and he was not an IWGP champion then.
I didn't even realize that was the conversation. We were talking about whether or not he was the IWGP champion in 95. Oh, no chance.
Then what pay-per-view am I thinking of that he came out with the belt? It was a WCW pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was probably he was probably in the NWO at that point.
If he won, just give me a second. If he won it September 23rd, 1998. So what's that? Halloween Havoc 98?
Halloween Havoc 98 was the worst Halloween Havoc. It was Hogan Warrior, Goldberg, DDP, I think, right?
They didn't have another co-branded pay-per-view with Japan around that time.
In 98? No.
I could
maybe. I mean, I'm not going to say definitively no, but
Well, I guess my memory wasn't all great tonight.
Well, he he wasn't on the 1998 Halloween Havoc.
That was definitely the DDP Goldberg and the Warrior Hogan.
And he was not at...
I think it was DDP.
He was probably in World War III, but I don't know if he wore the title out to that match.
Oh, he was in the fucking World War III match? No, then it wasn't that. It was probably a Nitro then. I thought I remembered.
No, he definitely... Tony, you're right. He wore the belt on WCW television. That's 100% factual.
I just thought it was like a pay-per-view where he wrestled somebody and he had the belt. I don't know.
He did wear it on Nitro once or twice, but it wasn't... like, it was a thing. Like, it was like, oh, you're the IWGP champion. We could have you, you know, rock it on TV. And then I just think it never happened because of the NWO.
Oh, people shortchange what, like... The NWO, quote-unquote, B-team in the States had such a tremendous impact in Japan. Like, the NWO Japan was the NWO B-team. You know, you add Muda, Tenzan, Chono. But it was essentially NWO Sting, Norton, occasionally Bagwell.
Yeah, but NWO Sting made quite the name for himself in Japan, too.
100%.
It's so... The relationship WCW had with New Japan... was so weird. Like, they sent over like NWO Sting and like Buff Bagwell.
Yeah.
And you get like all these fucking names that came here. It's just so weird.
Dude, I'm telling you, it was Norton. It was Chono, Muda, obviously. Bagwell occasionally. NWO Sting. It was literally the B squad, and I'm putting air quotes on that because I thought that they were awesome and integral in the NWO was huge in Japan.
So so what it says here is Norton's title win was mentioned only once in America on a broadcast of Nitro while he was seen holding the belt, but Norton's standing in the WCW version of the NWO never changed from this fact, mostly due to the NWO's leader being Hollywood Hogan, who was the WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Well, that makes sense.
So you only saw him with the belt once in a ring on a Nitro and then never again because I guess they didn't want him to be...
Upstaging Hogan.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? That makes sense.
What else do we have? Davey Richards is returning to the world of professional wrestling.
I saw that.
So that's pretty exciting. He hasn't wrestled since 2017 when he lost the CZW world title to Shane Strickland. So he is now making his return to Global Syndicate Wrestling. The event will be on Fight TV May 22nd.
That's awesome. Listen, the wrestling business is better if Davey Richards is in it.
I agree 100%. You know what the wrestling business is not doing any favors for? Tony, I got to ask you, Tony. What are we doing with this fucking Austin Idol clown?
He's Tyrus's mouthpiece. I mean, I guess that's what we're doing with him.
He's garbage. He's fucking hot garbage.
Uh-oh.
Velvet Sky is also quite the delicious piece of hot garbage. She's terrible. Terrible.
Terrible. Wow, that's strong.
Here's the thing. Joe Galli's calling something exciting. And then Tim Storm will jump in and he'll fill in the gaps. Beautifully, I might add. And then she just goes... Wow, she really got hit right there. Or not even like, wow, she really got hit right there. It's like, how do you come back from something like that? It's like, is this an ASMR video or are we fucking calling wrestling? What are we doing? And she repeats herself. She's not good. She's not good. Sorry. She sucks.
Oh, hot take.
That Maya, what's her name? Or May Valentine, her fucking gimmick name. She's getting better with the W's though. NWA. So there's that.
She's Brazilian, man.
I get it. The NWA.
Who's Sal Renaro's partner, Tony?
I wish I knew, Matt. I can't wait to find out. But your boy, fucking Aaron Stevens, is being kind of a dick to him, no? Aaron Stevens, like, I'm going to start taking this business seriously. And Sal Renaro's like, what happened? You never called me back. And he's like, oh, well, you know, you kind of need a partner, don't you?
Or, I mean, would you look at Sal Renaro? Would you take him seriously? Looks like a 4-year-old fucking did his hair.
He's a fucking nutbag. You know he's going to bring in? He's going to fucking bring in Marco Stunt so they can both get fucking murdered.
Ugh, a pass. Hard pass on Marco Stunt. How'd you feel about Odin and Paro taking on the newly acquired Strictly Business team, Chris Adonis and Thomas Latimer?
I kind of like Paro standing there by himself with that goofy gear is kind of like, eh. But Paro with fucking Odin? Odin's a fucking hoss, boy. He's a big motherfucker. They move. The two of them together, like, Paro is definitely motivated by being in this tag team. He was fucking quick. They were beating the shit out of people. It was fucking good stuff. I liked the match. And here's the weird thing, right? So, like, fucking your boy Kyle Davis fucking announces him as, like, part of Strictly Business, but nobody actually ever came out and said that he was part of Strictly Business.
Why is he my boy?
Yeah,
because he's your boy. You always remember his name. I don't remember. Yeah.
Oh, he's my boy because I remember his name.
Better than I do. I don't fucking know his name.
No, you know what you need to do? Take Symphony of Destruction match out of your brain and plug in Kyle Davis's name.
Newsflash: I don't really give a fuck about Kyle Davis.
Newsflash: You shouldn't give a fuck about a Symphony of Destruction match.
I do because it's fucking Megadeth. That's why.
The song is Megadeth. The match was not Megadeth.
It was fucking Megadeth watching it. You didn't fucking see it.
You're right. There's a reason I didn't watch it, because it's garbage.
Garbaggio.
What about this Taryn Terrell? What is she? Half a sped? Why is she, how dare you interrupt and upset Thunder Rosa?
She's a fucking idiot.
You looking to get your fucking ass beat? Seriously.
So I don't understand that. And Melina keeps coming back trying to weasel her away when Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa's wants nothing to fucking do with it.
Right.
Is this the week when they had that tag match between the ladies?
No, that was last week.
So who wrestled this week? Rosa came out because fucking
Camille got involved. Yep.
In the Strictly Business match. And Rosa was giving her shit.
Big Camille fan.
Oh, huge Camille fan. She's only been getting better. She's still got a ways to go, but she's only getting better.
I've been out.
What's the story with this what is Crimson and Jack Danes called? The War Machine? The War?
Yeah,
and they lost to Slice, Boogie, and Mims, right?
They sure did.
Cause one of them was taking a fucking nap outside the ring.
Interesting storyline, is it not? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
Jax Dane, former NWA world champion, got knocked out. Nobody fucking came to check on him. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Wait, who's checking on a guy during a match?
He was knocked out, and they were like, "Oh, I think he might really be hurt."
Oh, wait, legit hurt? Okay. Right,
no, it was part of the story.
I don't know what's going on. I don't watch NWA Power.
You should. No. It's a great watch.
Slice Boogie's good. Mims is good. Slice Boogie got to get some better fucking tights, dude. It's not even a Mets thing. It's like they look like he looks like he's wearing fucking pajamas, dude. Like, what the fuck is that?
Matt, you went back to the couch.
Yeah.
The entire night.
Yeah, I've been here all night, Kev.
I know, I'm aware. But you're slouching again.
I'm lounging. Tony. How dare your booger-eating guy throw out challenges to Nick Aldis?
Fuck him, dude. If we're getting Trevor Murdoch versus Nick Aldis, I'm fucking down. That's going to be an awesome match.
This guy's a moron, all right? He fucking got all... Yes. He's not a... Look, this isn't fucking the 18th century. There's no chivalry. You're not a fucking tough guy. He got his shit kicked in last week by Chris Adonis. He had neck problems. But he's like, I'm a fighting champion. I'm going to go out there and defend my championship and eat my boogers. And then fucking he went out there and Chris Adonis mopped the fucking floor with him. And now he's coming back. Hey, Nick Aldis, I eat my boogers and I'm a fucking champion. Look at me, birder.
Somebody's got to take Nick Aldis down a peg. If anybody can do it, it's going to be Trevor Murdoch.
Can do it, it's Tim Storm. It's not this fucking hillbilly.
So how do you work Tim Storm back into the title picture?
Nick Aldis sat on commentary with him and talked shit to him 2 weeks ago.
Yes, but last time they wrestled, Tim Storm said, if I can't win the title, I'm never going to get a title. That was the stipulation. Now he's never going to get another NWA world title match.
Things change, Tony.
I understand, but how do you get from point A to point B? You think Nick Aldis is just going to be like, yeah, get a title match?
Nick Aldis says, I'll give you a title match if you put your career on the line.
Ooh, title versus career.
Right, because we got this idiot Austin Idol running around saying here's what I don't understand, Tony, and you weren't here last week, and I pontificated here with good old Kevin. This idiot, Austin Idol, he's running around. He represents Nick Aldis, which is fucking still... No one's explained this fucking nonsense to me, right?
Does he?
That's what he said at the fucking pay-per-view. That's what he said at the first Power. He represents Nick Aldis. He's my client. I'm his manager. He made it to the top because of me. He said it during the fucking Aaron Stevens match, right? Then he comes out last week for fucking dumb Tyrus's match. And then he's going, oh, this is the Manster, you fucking hand job.
He's only been out with Tyrus, though, twice. He hasn't been
right.
Out
well, he said he was Tyrus's client, too, and he's going after Nick Aldis. And Joe Galli's like, what? I thought you were the manager of Nick Aldis.
Who knows?
I don't like this Austin Idol. I want him on the show, and I want to tell him he's a fucking hand job.
You want to put up with that for 45 minutes?
45 minutes. I'd hang up on him after five.
No, you wouldn't. You fucking kept Scotty Rigg on for 6 hours. You're going to fucking...
I don't have a problem with Scotty Riggs. I hate this Austin Idol. He's always bringing this big goof Tyrus around, staring down fucking the Pope. How'd you like the Pope and Fred Rossier?
Good match. I like the Pope. Fred Rossier needs a fucking personality transplant. Something's got to happen with him.
Whoa.
He's got all the tools there, and there's something that's holding him back. But I'm all down with the Pope, man. Pope's already got three under his belt for the lucky seven.
You think he's going to run into fucking Fat Tits over here?
Who?
Fucking Fat Tits Magoo, Tyrus.
Look, he's technically capable, but he's not in shape. And I don't know. I'm not on the Tyrus bandwagon yet. I'm just not.
What do we got next tomorrow? What is it? Power Surge? What is this?
I have no idea. What's Power Surge?
You're the fucking NWA guy.
Well, no, I don't, dude, I was on vacation last week. I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
You don't give a fuck. You sent me four pages worth of fucking predictions. You don't give a fuck. You want to chime in the whole show.
Look, I have to prioritize, man. That's the way it goes. I'll watch tomorrow, and I'll let you know what happened next week.
All right, well, you let me know if it's NWA Power or NWA Power or Surge.
Maybe they're going to be drinking Surge during the matches. Maybe Teddy Hart, getting shooed away from fucking other promotions, found himself a job, and he's going to be installing energy drink machines in the posts of the ring.
Good for those people shooing Teddy Hart.
I don't know. I thought I heard something.
Yeah, he showed up at a show and they wouldn't let him in the locker room because he's a fucking dirtbag.
He's a scummy.
I heard he was at ringside though. They he was in the building anyway.
I know he was at WrestleMania. Did you see the Jimmy Lloyd thing?
No.
He was in the first row of WrestleMania in a GCW shirt on, and they came out and they gave him the Hurt Business t-shirt.
And they gave him a Hurt Locker shirt. Yeah, I know.
That's pretty funny. Kevin, breaking news. Yep. It looks like they're teasing dissension with Miz and Morrison. Yeah.
All right.
The guest for Miz TV is Maurice this week. And Johnny Morrison, he has no idea why.
Hey, here's what I think. Did you see the NXT tease of Frankie Monet, which I think is going to be? I think it's obvious now that it's going to be John Morrison's wife, Taya Valkyrie.
Yes, yes. I had that in my notes last week. We didn't talk about it.
Well, I had no clue that that was even going to be a thing last week. I just realized it watching the little dog running around and that this week. So wait, they're gonna break up Morrison and Miz? Is that what you're saying?
It seems like that's the story they're trying to tell here. It looks like a little dissension, and now it looks like the Miz and the Morrison were taking on Damian Priest in a handicap match.
I don't like it. They're much better together. I mean, Miz, this is tough, actually. Miz is better by himself, but they're better together than in 2021. Morrison should not be without Miz. And that stinks to say, but Morrison should be with Miz and Miz should be with Morrison. That's a marriage, bro.
It looked like they set up Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for making fun of Mandy Rose for slipping and falling during her entrance. Rose jumped in and Jax told Baszler she could handle this alone. Baszler left, and Rose and Dana Brooks attacked Nia Jax and left her laying. So it looks like Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose will be challenging for the women's tag titles. It also looks like Alexa did a promo, and she is become powerful enough on her own that she does not need Bray Wyatt anymore. She also has a new friend named Lily. It is a puppet with pigtails.
Strong pass.
Strong pass indeed. Where did T-Don go?
I don't know. But he's a champion, apparently.
Champion.
Champion.
Where did cheese go?
I don't know.
We don't know, Matt. We just don't know. It's a mystery. Oh, there he is.
Breaking it down hard.
Oh, look at Tony.
I don't know. Sorry, I had to go take care of something. Real quick.
It's okay.
Guys, if you're not watching us on Facebook, then you're just missing out.
Missing
out, dude. Yeah. Seriously.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about this fine Monday evening?
Dead air.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations are in order to the winner of the Valet 32 tournament. I didn't want to do a special episode this week because I figured there was only one result to cover. But at the end of the day, your number one, who has been consistently defeating opponents throughout the entire tournament, the sensational one, the queen, Sherry Martel, defeats the number 5 seed Lita in the finals. Your winner and your Valet 32 champion, Sherry Martel.
Tony, this was probably the best idea you've ever had, by the way.
57% of the vote she had to Lita's 43%. And Lita...
Close.
Lita actually won. Lita beat two number one seeds to get to the final, by the way.
And she who were those?
And she beat Elizabeth in the final four. Now, she only made it this far because in the Sweet 16, she beat Woman by one vote. One vote.
Ooh.
She had a tie on Twitter, and that one vote came from Facebook. Statistically, they were at 50% each, but that one vote pushed Lita through. And had Lita not gone through, who knows if the result would have been different, but Lita falls in the final to Sherry Martel.
So who was Lita's opponent before Sherry?
Lita faced off against Elizabeth in the finals, in the final four.
All right, so that's a semifinal. All right, Lita should have beat Elizabeth.
Oh, Lita fucking annihilated Elizabeth.
I mean, all due respect to Elizabeth, she's the first lady for a reason, but Lita had a much... much, much, much better career. Valet-wise. And wrestling-wise, obviously, because Elizabeth didn't really wrestle. So, boom.
Well, I don't think you could have gone wrong with either as the winner, but Sherry Martel coming out on top. I think she won only because Lita did not retweet the final matchup.
Completely possible, but out of our hands. It is what it is.
Ah. Another tournament in the books.
Here, Kev, I'll give you the stats on our two finalists.
All right.
So in the Sensation region, Sherry defeated the number 8 seeded Maryse, 87-13%. She beat the number 5 seed Trish Stratus, 76-24%.
Yep.
She beat Terry Runnels, the number 3 seed, 77-23%. Okay. And she beat Sunny, the number 1 seed from the original Diva region, 76-24%. So she's been consistent all the way across the board. Lita, number 5 seed in the Fallen Angel region, beat the number 4 seeded China 52-48. And that was a split vote. Lita won Twitter and lost Facebook.
Okay.
She beat Woman 50-50 by one vote, the number 1 seed. She beat the number 2 seed Missy Hyatt with 84% of the vote. And then beat Elizabeth, the number 1 seed, with 76% of the vote. So if it wasn't for the fact that she beat Woman by one vote, who knows how this tournament would have played out. But once she made it to the round of 8, she was on fire.
Yeah, I mean you can't deny what she's done. As like everyone said, you might think that she's she definitely had more success as a wrestler than as a manager, but her with the Hardys is just like, and if you want to go back further for the bigger fans, like, you know, ECW and with Esse Rios, but it was her and the Hardys that got her there. And it was obviously her retweeting it too. Obviously we're not going to, you know, play silly heads here.
Well, she also managed world champion Edge.
Oh God. Yeah. Duh. Absolutely. 100%.
Huge run with Edge. Who's currently on his comeback of a lifetime. So,
yeah, that's a big part.
There you go. Matt, what else we got? We got anything else?
That's all I got, buddy.
Fuck, we're wrapping up on a fucking good time tonight. I like it.
That's it. We'll be back next week. It is Tony's appreciation show. So we already have a couple guests booked.
Guests? What? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because me and Kevin don't want to fucking give you kudos for 3 hours.
I don't want to talk to you. Really.
But now all these people are going to be giving me kudos as well?
Yes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Maybe some granola bars, maybe some Twix. Who knows?
Ooh, I like the way you think, KJG.
Love you.
And hey, dude.
That's all I got. Next week, Tony Appreciation Show. The week after that. Never mind. Disregard. You're good.
What? Wait. What happened? Did we lose something?
No, I didn't have the right information in front of me, and I don't want to pull it up on this computer because it's doing everything, so I don't want it to crash.
Oh, right, well, why don't I just plug some comedy then? So how do we do that? So June 25th, 26th, and 27th, Atlantic City, baby. KJG performing with in association with Boardwalk Buds. I'm not a fan of the marijuana, but hey, if they're going to smoke it, go for it. I'm not. Shows the Showboat in Atlantic City. And then, actually, before that, June 18th, the OSPAC. It's a performing arts center in West Orange, New Jersey. I'll be there banging them out. And who knows what else is going to pop up. So follow me at Shining Wizards Kevin on Instagram, at Kevin Garifo on Twitter.
Thanks.
Beautiful.
Tony, you got anything?
I just want to say I am looking forward to next week's show. I'm going to watch some Power this week. I might catch up on a little NXT, but I can't wait. Let the celebration begin. A celebration of me.
That's right. Tony's celebration next week. It's going to start at about 6:45, so be sure to tune in on The Rant, rantiumradio.com, or join us at the Facebook, facebook.com/WizardsPodcast, at Wizards Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow, support, retweet, share our episodes. Be sure to rate and review on any podcast platforms where you listen. Nelly is here. Special thanks to Dave LaGreca for joining us tonight. And a very special thanks for Thunder Rosa to call in and bust Dave's balls. Mission Pro Wrestling, May 1st. Dave is taking an unfortunate trip down to Buda, Texas, where he's going to get the shit smacked out of him. And you can see all that if you go and order the pay-per-view at TitleMatchNetwork.com. We'll be back next week with another fun-filled episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Goodbye and good night.
Bam.
Good night, Gracie.
It's so good.